Show. Head On with Bob Kincaid. 3 hours of conversation, cussing, and a discussing with America's only born and bred Southern liberal talk host. Head On with Bob Kincaid is brought to you each night by Coal River Mountain Watch. Coal River Mountain Watch invites you to become part of the solution, part of a sustainable future, part of the uprising against mountaintop removal. Coal River Mountain Watch, CRMW.net. And now, from high in the hills of beautiful West Bicod, Virginia, here's Bob Kincaid on the Head On Radio Network.
Well, howdy. And here we go, off and running on this final day of June, 2023. The first couple of weeks of summer, nine days or so of summer, are at an end. Here comes July. And, sorry, I'm kind of a mess today. We'll get to why I'm a mess. Okay. I mean, you know why I'm a mess. If you're listening live right now, you know why I'm a mess. Hell, if you're listening to the podcast, you know why I'm a mess. But anyway, it is the 30th day of June, 2023. This is The Horn. HeadOn.live is where you'll find us on the interweb tubes. That's where you go if you'd like to be part of the merry, wacky, zany, real-time, madcap, multimedia extravaganza that is The Horn chat room in the 3 hours in which this program is live, Monday through Friday, 5 to 8 p.m. Eastern Daylight Time, 2 to 5 p.m. Pacific Daylight Time, all time zones in between, and the Great Globe Round. And where, if you pop into the chat room right now, you'll make Squeaky feel a lot better, because Squeaky is the only early arriver right now. Early arriver right now. First day with the rented lips. Secondhand tongue. But anyway, pop on by, and you'll be capably moderated by Horn Chief Agronomist and Chief Mathematician and Bud Trimmer Emeritus, Roger in Oregon. And a good time will be had by all. It's Friday on the front porch. And so that means here in a little bit we will gather over the river and through the woods in the old holler tree we sublet from the Keebler Elves, wherein we keep the extraordinary ordinary round table around which we gather at the end of every week, usually to make sure that we haven't missed out on anything during the previous 4 days. But today I think, unless I'm wrong, I think we're going to be talking about Supreme Court, which, by the way, if you're not paying attention, sucketh with a mighty sucking. Hey, there's Ralphs. Good to see you, Ralphs. In the chat room, thank you. Thanks for popping by and helping keep Squeaky company. Every program here at The Horn, however, begins with gratitude, and this program is no different, and so consequently, thanks go out to our 30th day of the month subscriber. And that means thanks to Dave and the Blind. Thank you, Dave. Thank you so much. And so, here, on the final day of June, 2023, the fundraising goal stands at $1,699. That's what it's going to take to get us to the end of June fully funded. And I know that's a lot. That is literally more than five times the daily fundraising goal. But what that also means is that fully more than an entire broadcast week of this radio network remains unfunded. There's Theo popping into the chat room. Hey, Theo. So if you can help out and help us get, help us get out of June a little something less than as deep in the red as we are, sure would be helpful. It certainly would be helpful. But it's also the last day of the month. And the last day of the month is when we say thank you to our Patreon subscribers, whom we do appreciate mightily. The two primary ways for contributing to the program to keep independent, liberal, progressive broadcasting afloat are Patreon and PayPal. PayPal subscribers, well, there's a PayPal interface on the main page at headon.live, and whenever you subscribe, that's the day that your subscription comes out. With Patreon, it all comes out on the first day of the month. So I try to say thank you on the last day of the month for what came in the month previous. And if you want to be if you would like to be a Patreon subscriber, well, you'll have to go to contribute at headon.live and go from there. So that means thank you to Theo out in Oregon, and thank you to Randy Radar, and thank you to Christopher, and thank you to Troy. Thank you, Janice, and thank you to David in Oregon. Thank you, Eve. Thank you, Jake in Columbus. Thank you, Nancy. Thank you to Bernadette there in Humboldt. Thank you to Michael of the Guffins and Baltimore Bob. Thank you. Thank you to Jeff in Slow. Thanks as well to Kay and to Andrea and to James. Thank you to Aaron and Annette. Thank you, Joanne. Thank you, Lori. Thank you to Vernon in San Diego. Thank you to Kat in Ohio. Thank you, Brendan. Thank you, KW. Thank you, Barb. Thank you, Horst in Taiwan. Thank you, Robin. Thank you, Terrace. Thank you, Brother Deacon Asa. And thank you, Jeremy in Vermont. Those are our Patreon subscribers. And I am so, and you know, all of us here are so grateful that you're willing to stand there and be there and help to keep all of this going for as long as it has gone, which is coming, well, to one extent, it's already 20 years as an internet-only operation, 18, and all told, just plain amazing. Thank you, Ralphs. Ralph says, I'm offering a $25 challenge for the shitty, crappy Supreme Court. Yeah, Ralph sent me a note earlier today saying basically, oh my God, this Supreme Court sucks so bad. And it's true, because they do. Matt in San Francisco watched it all unfold and sent a note earlier in the day. Blacks and gays and poors, oh my. First they said discriminate against the blacks and folks did nothing. Then they said discriminate against the queers and folks did nothing. Then they said screw the folks with student loans and folks did nothing. Things are going in the wrong direction. If past is prologue, Robin, this doesn't end well for you and me. No, Matt, it doesn't. And this is another one of those days where it's hard not to, well, the term I use for it is doom spiral. And I'm trying really hard not to. But Matt continued and said, street justice. If we could get all Americans on the same page, perhaps we can ensure that any service that the Supreme Six need in their lives, we simply deny them. Because we have a sincerely held religious belief that their ruling is ridiculous. And by the way, whatever gay who does Amy Covid's hair, the handmaid, should give her the G.I. Jane cut. Same for whoever does the wives of the five Boogaloo Boy justices. Just spitballing here. But Matt is on a page that I'm very much on, too. And I'm trying to figure out how I can participate. For instance, I mean, it's a distinction without a difference where this radio network is concerned. But if I said, because I have said for eons now, that maggots and various Republicans and right-wingers are not welcome on this program. They have something like 10,000 hours per day of maggoty broadcasting to every hour there is for programs like this. And, well, I mean, frankly, there is no program like this, but you get the point. So they're not welcome. And I know that there are members of this Horn Family Community Congregation who are Christian, who aren't shitty human beings. But I feel like I need to say, just as a statement of policy, that based upon the 303 creative decision, that I refuse to engage in dialogue with any evangelical who might seek to come on this program. Any Republican, I have a deeply held moral and philosophical, nay, in fact, religious belief that allowing evangelicals time to speak violates everything that I think is good and moral and decent and upright and, well, Merkin. That's kind of where my head is. We'll get into more of that. From Joey, a missive, Scrotus. You see what Joey did there. In 1971, Clarence Thomas was admitted to Yale's law school as part of the affirmative action practice through which the school wanted 10% of its incoming class to be students of color. Well, this is off to a fast start. Here comes a highly pissed off Giraffe.
Well, I realize that no pre-clearance Clarence is not a man of infinite intellect, but now we find out that he's colorblind as well because, well, yesterday he voted to deny these opportunities to all present and future students of color. As an African-American giraffe, I am appalled that this man and his despicable wife, considering Thomas should have been the one recusing himself from this case, with the fact that his wife, Jenny, helped gin up a bullshit amicus brief when she recently sat on the board of an organization that filed the motion. Nice job, Clarence. Not only are you the most inconsequential, insignificant Supreme Court justice, but you've also never offered or rendered an opinion with any kind of erudite substance that would be consistent with your former contemporaries on this court, let alone the great man that you replaced, namely Justice Thurgood Marshall.
Junior has a thought. Oh, yeah, the kids are busy today. I really don't believe Justice Thomas's career on the Supreme Court is anything to crow about, even though Harlan thinks so.
Oh, good point, Junior.
Joey, too, is busy. As it turns out, clearance, affirmative action, has benefited more white women than it has assisted black people. And Lord knows that Clarence really likes white women. Well, that's true, Joey, too. But he likes submissive white women. He likes women who know that Jesus told them to keep their mouths shut and their hair covered. But still, good job, Joey, too.
Yeah, today you just pulled that ladder up from so many people after you used it to climb up that metaphorical hill. No, and I'm not talking about climbing up Anita Hill, but rather the metaphorical hill with your lack of support of affirmative action. You're a real dick and not an affirm one.
Oh, Junior, have to congratulate you. Yeah, very nice job, Junior. Yes, I do believe that Thomas had no business ever ascending to the highest court in the land, especially after he harassed Anita Hill on the Hill. Junior is correct. Thomas has put the male anatomy in the Supreme Court, as what used to be just SCOTUS is now SCROTUS. I hasten to add that it was just last month that Justice Thomas basically flipped us the bird when it was revealed that he was offered a quid pro quo from a man named Harlan. Quid pro quo. Quid pro quo gets a cowbell from me. In this case, Thomas has put the crow in SCROTUS. Ketanji Brown Jackson presented a wonderful dissent concerning the structural racism that still exists in this country, including lack of good housing, limited access to health care, and food insecurity. 35 years of racial housing policy, including the fact that the GI Bill could not be used by black people to purchase homes after World War II, creating a wealth gap that for every $100,000 of wealth a white person accrues only translates into $5,000 for black people. Obviously, black folks have been redlined by people like Donald Trump and his father into financially inferior neighborhoods. Schools are funded with property taxes, and in lower-income neighborhoods, much less funding can be generated for schools, often rendering these schools inferior. Clarence, hey, if you think racism no longer exists, take a good look at Donald Trump's very first words when he entered the presidential race in 2015. Mexicans are all rapists.
Oh, good job, Raffrey and Junior and Joey, too. Ironically, on this day, June 30th, 2022, Ketanji Brown Jackson was sworn onto the Supreme Court, shattering the glass ceiling as the first black woman on the nation's highest court. I will add, parenthetically and editorially, that the next step is for her to eventually be the first black chief justice, black woman chief justice. She would be the first black chief justice, the first woman chief justice, and the first black woman chief justice. That needs to happen. Especially because she is such an absolutely fantastic writer. By the way, Giraffe just mentioned Donald Trump has lost 8 percentage points from Republican voters, as he was recently at 68%, but now he's down to 60%. That's great, because he still has a commanding lead in the race for the Republican nomination for president, but even less Republicans will be voting for him in the 2024 general election than did in 2020. On this day in 2016, Defense Secretary Ash Carter announced that transgender people would be allowed to serve openly in the U.S. military, ending one of the last bans on service in the armed forces. Also on this day in 1918, labor activist and socialist Eugene V. Debs was arrested in Cleveland, Ohio. Debs was charged under the Espionage Act for a speech he'd made 2 weeks earlier in my hometown of Canton, Ohio, Joey says. The speech denounced U.S. involvement in World War I. Debs was sentenced to prison, where he ran for president. I guess there was no freedom of speech back then. I loved Eugene Debs. He was the Bernie Sanders of his time and just a great man. He headed up the Socialist Party, and one time when he was on the stump and a Christian person said, "We need Christianity, not socialism," Dobbs responded, "Socialism is Christianity in action." Finally, on a lighter note, on this day in 1994, the U.S. Figure Skating Association stripped Tonya Harding of the national championship and banned her for life for her role in the attack on rival Nancy Kerrigan. And Junior gets the finish.
Yeah, she knew what was coming to her, because after what happened to Nancy Kerrigan, Tonya was skating on thin ice. Oh, Junior.
The llama is very tired coming down the hill. This has been Joey's Journal for a Friday on the Front Porch, Friday the 30th day of June, with Giraffe celebrating the last day of Pride Month, waving his flag proudly. And there's a $20 SCROTUS challenge on the table. So that means there's $45 worth of challenges on the table that will get us down to, see, $16.99. That would get us down to $16.09. 2 years after Jamestown. Those were bad times for the white people in America back then. Well, thank you. I said first day with the rented lips, and Lee in New York said, you'll get used to them, but I'm sure they're fabulous. I am not going to say a word. And with a little something to get us started, lightheartedly, from John, my ode to Merle Haggard. I'm not going to sing. We've got a $1,699 fundraising crevasse to fill in. The pressures down here are intense. We're just some wokies from Muskogee. We don't get our kicks from CRT. We don't shoot our Bud Lights down on Main Street because we like treating others with dignity. We don't craft our sermons out of hatred, but we like being fair and decent, too. We don't let our minds get dumb and lazy like those who claim they're Christian do. And we're proud to be the wokies from Muskogee, where we keep the truth in history. Red, white, and blue means more than just red hat, because everyone matters in our democracy. We salute the value of our libraries, where thoughtful people choose the books. We pick kind people to make decisions, instead of right-wing, lifelong crooks. Oh, that's good, John. I like that a lot. I wish I could pick a little bit, and well, more than that, I wish I could sing. And I'd get right after that. Billable Rick says, let's golf more challenge and get Robin out of her hole. Robin, to commemorate my first golf game in a couple of months set for tomorrow afternoon with my girlfriend Ginger and buddy George, I'd like to offer a $30 challenge to be doubled to $60 when matched. The initial $30 can be applied to any extant challenge. So, Raps' challenge is now met. Plus five, so that is, let's see, 1644. P.S. Ginger and I had a blast attending the final round of the U.S. Open at Los Angeles Country Club 2 days ago. The first open in the in 75 years. The backdrop of Century City office buildings on certain holes was quite unusual for a golf course. I can imagine that. And Steve, in New York, skating on thin ice. Really, Junior? I strongly object to a gnurish cowbell. Well, your objection is overruled. It was a very, very weak cowbell. And thank you, Chris, in Washington. Chris in Washington has jumped in on the next challenge, the Scrotus Challenge, courtesy of Joey and Giraffe and Junior and Joey 2 the Kangaroo. $10 remains on that. And then we need $30 for Billable Rick's challenge, and we'll be making headway. So thanks to Joey, and thanks to Ralphs, and thanks to Billable. We will, when we go over the river and through the trees to the old holler tree, I think we'll be dissecting these opinions quite thoroughly. But as Fabio says, today was a horrible day. How in the hell did that 303 creative case even have standing? It didn't. By the way, cowbell on Scrotus. Also, in colloquial Brazilian Portuguese, escroto means creep. And those six are real escrotos. How do you, is S sufficient to pluralize escroto in Brazilian Portuguese? Flavio, I don't know. I don't know a lick about Portuguese. But yeah, without a doubt, the six escroto on the Supreme Court. It's just so mind-bendingly, I mean, I expected this, okay? And
For some reason or another, on yesterday's program, I kept referring to it as 123 Creative. Because, frankly, 303, the area code for the state of Colorado, is not particularly creative. It's almost like it's some sort of dumb joke. But the fact of the matter is, what Matt in San Francisco alluded to is where we are right now. The city fathers and the like in Montgomery, Alabama, howled in impotent fury and outrage at the Montgomery bus boycott. Well, we need something nationwide on the order of a Montgomery bus boycott. These fuckers have to hurt. The question, though, is: can a segment of the body politic of this country that is hard pressed to climb much above 10% that is to say, the entirety of the LGBTQIA plus community, not much more than 10%. How can 10% of the people wield enough power to make the people who hate us sit up and pay attention? And I feel like it has to be economic in nature. I feel like there is moral outrage that is called for here. And maybe the bottom line is that the people who espouse this hate have to feel it. And I'm not necessarily talking about the six theocratic fascists on the Supreme Court. They certainly figure in this. They should not be able to sit down and eat a meal. They should not be able to go shopping. They should not be able to go to the grocery store. They should basically be forced to sit under siege in their very expensive homes in Tony suburbs of Maryland and Virginia so as not to feel the moral outrage of a disgusted nation. I'm not talking about threatening anybody. I'm talking about telling people to their face how awful they are. And it takes courage. It takes courage. No threats. No. But tell them when they are out, when they are seen, you're a horrible person and God hates you. Because these are religious decisions. And as such, and I'm focusing on 303 Creative right now. We will get to the student debt relief one in a moment. I saw a friend post on Facebook earlier. She said, well, guess it's time to look for that second job again. Or look for another job again. And I immediately worried. I know where she works, and I was afraid that perhaps something had happened there. But no, what those six theocratic fascists did today directly impacted her, and she is literally going to have to get a second job just to service the debt that she went into in order to better her life by going to college. She may wind up, you know, she works 40 hours a week now, she may wind up 60 or even 80. And half of that is going to be 20 years of debt service. And that is going to affect a lot more people than the 303 Creative decision does.
Now, I suspect that there will be, among our allies, things, there will be displays in windows that I've already seen. I see them in Fayetteville. I've seen them, you know, little tiny Fayetteville, little teeny tiny microscopic blue speck in a blood red sea that is West Virginia. But you see an outline of the state of West Virginia done in rainbow colors, and it says, all are welcome. And I suspect in the coming weeks, days, weeks, and months, we'll see more of that. But that is the pushback. That businesses will make sure that everybody knows that if you're gay, you're welcome. If you're lesbian, you're welcome. If you're bi, you're welcome. If you're trans, if you're intersex, if you're asexual, that you're welcome. And that's nice to see. But it isn't what is called for in this moment. Christians, not welcome. Don't come in here with your hate. Don't come in here with your loving Jesus who compels you to despise two people for how they love each other. Don't. And there won't be very many who do that, because there would be a furious backlash. But the bottom line is, we get 303 Creative today, yes, because of the Alliance defaming freedom, dragging $100 bills through trailer parks. No doubt about that. The entire case was a ginned-up fraud by a woman who had never known a moment's harm. But now she can proudly display on her website that she, by God, will not design a website for a queer couple because Jesus. And I was talking to Miss Terry earlier today. I said, you know what we need? We need an absolutely drop-dead beautiful passing trans girl. And an absolute studly stud muffin, totally handsome trans guy. And they need to go to Miss 303 Creative Bigot and say, we're in love. We're going to get married. And we want a website. Can you design our website? You know, we're Christians. And she looks at him. She can't tell anything. It's a man and a woman. A one-man, one-woman marriage like his God is intended, except when he was intended for David and Saul and Solomon to have 7 and 8 and 900 wives and 6 and 7 and 8 and 900 concubines. Yeah, that let's not confuse the issue here. And let them go all the way through it. And here, let me just preface this by saying, this is entirely a fraud. They don't even have to, the couple doesn't even have to love each other. But it's an acting job. It's an acting job. So they make like they love each other, and they do all the paperwork, and they get married, and then once she's built the website and once the caterers and everything, I don't know, maybe find a pizza maker that doesn't want to make pizza for gays either. But after all the I do's are said, go over to Little Miss 303 and go, ha ha, we're queer. Jesus hates you now. And if she says, well, I'll just pray for forgiveness and Jesus will forgive me. Yeah, but he won't forgive you for your hate. And then, you know, after the party's over, they can run and get all gay divorced or trans divorced. It wouldn't be a gay marriage, because straight trans girl, straight trans guy, that's one man and one woman, just like God intended. I mean, but we are, so, you know, so just to be clear, and their own decisions make clear just what hypocrites and pigs they are. You cannot use race to enhance someone's chance of getting into Harvard. But you can use religion to keep gay people from getting services. Because make no mistake. Oh, and when I was saying that, you know, the Supremes and whatnot need to be confronted when they're out and about. Nothing violent. It is not violent to chant at someone. It is not violent to bring economic action against, say, any restaurant that would serve, say, Clarence Pubes on the Coke can, Fappy Thomas, and his fascist wife, Ginsurrectionist. It's not violent, and it's not illegal. Make it too economically difficult for a business to serve them. But in addition to them, the people who made all of this happen are the pettifogging pieces of shit at the Alliance Defaming Freedom. You know, instead of celebrating a victory today, they should be planning their defense for having perpetrated a fraud upon the court. They didn't even have a real gay person who wanted a real gay wedding website. And the rationale was no rationale. The only thing worth reading out of all of this is the dissents. Which perhaps we will discuss, get to later in the program. But in the final analysis, well, two things. One, if any form of Christianity that actually has anything to do with the teachings of Yeshua, the brown-skinned Palestinian day laborer and semi-literate itinerant rabbi who wore a dress every day of their life, is to continue to exist, then the decent practitioners of that faith at this point in time have no choice but to stand up and say, we disagree wholeheartedly with this theocratic fascist Supreme Court. We want nothing to do with any claim of Christianity. And we declare that the 303 creative lady is not a Christian. No one working at the Alliance Defaming Freedom is a Christian. No one sitting on the 6-3 majority of the Supreme Court is a Christian. And they are all separated from the grace of Christ Jesus, and upon their passing will be cast into the outer darkness and into the flames of hell prepared forever for the devil and his angels. Because otherwise, Christianity is simply going, it already is, a vehicle for hate. And for anyone who's been listening to this program for any time at all, what I'm saying is nothing new. I'm not saying that because I am a member of the LGBTQ community now. I was saying that when I was closeted AF and still, you know, Bob. The other part of this is, and this is how theocratic fascism works. Our most puissant dread sovereign supreme Catholic majesties think that they're doing the bidding of Holy Mother Church. Of course they aren't. Well, wait. Yeah, they are. Everything about today's decision is perfectly in line with right-wing Christian theology, whether it be the Southern Baptist Convention or the United States Conference of Catholic Bishops, or for that matter, the Pope at Rome, or for all I know, the Patriarch at Athens, and the Metropolitan in Mother Russia. But what they are doing is teaching decent Americans to absolutely loathe Christianity. And millions upon millions upon millions of Americans already do. Not because there's some sort of character flaw or defect in the people doing the loathing, but because the church makes itself so utterly, absolutely, completely, and totally loathsome. No amount of good works can ever wipe away the stain, the bloody, hateful stain of the bigotry that infects American Christianity. There is no good to be had out of American Christianity. Because it's like algebra. If you add, say, 100,000 to 1, you get -99,999. That's what Christian good works are as they line up all against all the Christian evil out there. I don't care if it causes a schism. And for anyone who might say, oh no, Robin, we can't do that because that'll divide the nation. Where do you think we are now? As of the first day of July with the Independence Day holiday, and it's going to be a long weekend, upon us, where are we now? The signs can go over into the windows now. The fact that there may not be that many at first doesn't matter. But it is now legal all over the United States of America for disgusting, hypocritical, filthy Christian bigots to put signs in windows with, for instance, say, just a rainbow bar and a red circle and a slash through it to let us know that we are not welcome in that establishment. But this has further reach than that. It'll take a little bit of time, but for instance, we talked, kind of celebrated a little bit, about how in the 8th United States Circuit Court of Appeals, sitting at St. Louis, U.S. District Court Judge Moody told the state of Arkansas, as well as the Alliance Defaming Freedom, to fuck right off up a dried-out cactus with their bill banning gender-affirming care for trans teens. The opinion was cogent, it was strong, it made perfect sense. It pointed out that the state of Arkansas and their grunting, barking, bleeding, hooting plaintiffs put forward no worthwhile evidence in support of their bigotry. So now it goes up to the 8th U.S. Circuit Court of Appeals. It may stand, but if they have anything, the Alliance Defaming Freedom and these other disgusting groups, these merchants of fraud upon the court, because they are demonstrably that, they got money, and they can keep appealing to the Supreme Court and appealing to the Supreme Court and appealing to the Supreme Court until hell freezes over. And now I am truly terrified that once these cases are all consolidated, the six people who said that it's okay to deny services to someone for being gay will leap at the chance to say that it's perfectly constitutional to put a transgender child's very life at risk and deny medical care. A little bit closer to home, I'm sure it's winding its way through the courts. In fact, I know it is even now. The law in the state of Florida that says an EMT, if that EMT has a deeply held religious belief that says that the queers need to die, and there's someone that they suspect of being LGBTQIA+, and they just happen to be bleeding out on some godforsaken Florida sidewalk, that the EMT can stand there and watch them die. That's the logical extension of what came out of 303 Creative, a denial of services based upon a sincerely held religious belief. You see where we're headed? Where we're headed is not good. And we got a little clue about that today, because before they climbed down off of their Everest and headed for their very comfortable lives, before maybe Sammy Bad Breath pulled together his fishing tackle and his little fishing hat with all the flies on it. Oh, these are live flies. He's a servant of the old one. They kind of buzz around him. Sammy Bad Breath took time to grunt and gripe and groan about a case that the Supreme Court declined to take. A majority of justices took a powder on the sheriff of Fairfax County, Virginia. She appealed a lower court's ruling that said that a former inmate, Kesha Williams, properly diagnosed with gender dysphoria, to go ahead and sue officials of the Fairfax County, Virginia jail. Because, you see, Kesha Williams is a trans woman, and the Fairfax County sheriff, who is a woman whose last name is, I believe, Kincaid, oh my God, her sheriff's office put Kesha Williams in the men's jail. or Kesha Williams, lived in hell. Yeah. The sheriff of Fairfax County, Virginia, is in fact Stacy Kincaid. Kesha Williams got run into the hoosegow on drug-related charges. Kesha Williams sued under the Americans with Disabilities Act, as well as the Equal Protection Clause of the Constitution of the United States, claiming she was subjected to cruel and unusual punishment because putting a woman in a men's jail is fucking cruel and fucking unusual. And then while she was in the jail, because she was already doing everything she could to manifest her gender, for 2 weeks in jail, they took away her hormone replacement therapy. The disgusting part of this is that they already knew, or they had already done the right thing in the Fairfax County Jail. When they arrested her, they put her in the women's portion of the jail. But then they found out that Kesha Williams was a biological male, which is about as meaningless a term as presently exists in science. If, for instance, the Fairfax County jail had bothered to take blood work and they had sent it away blind with no references to anything, her blood work would have come back and said, yeah, this woman's estrogen is this, this woman's estrone is this, this woman's testosterone is this, this woman, yada, 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 yada. And would have said that she was a woman. And not to put too fine a point on it, but, well, blood tests are biological. But she did not have bottom surgery privilege. And so the fact that she had something between her legs that she was probably entirely disassociated from led her to be put in the men's jail. And then, well, I don't even want to think about her, what her life was like among those men. But Sammy Bad Breath, and of course Clarence Pubes on the Coke Can Fappy Thomas, the two most crooked men on the Supreme Court, both of whom will have to be screwed into the dirt when they die. Well, Sammy Bad Breath said, anticipating exactly what I was talking about a moment ago, for instance, with the Arkansas and the Alabama cases and the Missouri cases and the Idaho cases, all these maggot cases rising. Yeah, this decision will raise a host of important and sensitive questions regarding such matters as participation in women's and girls' sports, access to single-sex restrooms and housing, the use of traditional pronouns, and the administration of sex reassignment therapy, both the performance of surgery and the administration of hormones, by physicians and hospitals that object to such treatment on religious or moral grounds. I know this because the church taught me that. And what the church wants, I'm gonna do. I added the last part, to be fair. So you see what's coming? A case about, and rest assured, that's exactly what he was told to say by the Alliance Defaming Freedom and the fucking Federalist Society. The bottom line in all of this is that the Supreme Court of the United States is an entirely illegitimate, entirely corrupt institution that is no more nonpartisan, no more blind to, you know, no, the lady with the sword and the scales and the blindfold, well, the blindfold's gone, the scales are thrown in a trash heap, and she's got both hands on the sword, and she's wearing a fucking MAGA hat. But a black trans woman put in a shithole jail in Virginia
and thrown in with the men to be used for sport by those dudes. Sammy Bad Breath wanted to use that to decide whether or not an 11-year-old trans girl can run fucking cross-country. Sammy Bad Breath said, in his own words, that he wanted to use the case of a black trans woman who was thrown in a shithole jail to decide whether it's okay to deny housing to trans people. He wanted to use that case of that abused black trans woman who had who was making no claim about pronouns as to whether or not a trans woman deserves to be referred to as she and her. This fucker wants to pass on the actual language, the English language itself. He wants to set himself up as a one, well, actually, 6, 5 men, 1 woman, Academy Anglaise, and declare what the meanings of pronouns are. Now, this has more significance. I'm sorry, I didn't make the 303 decision. I'd happily be talking about something else because I know some members of our community they get all creepy feeling when Robin talks about the trannies. But the fact of the matter is, this is where it's going. This is what's going to be decided, and it will impact not just trans people. It will not impact not just trans women. It will be brutally used against gender non-conforming, gender non-presenting cis women as well. Butch women are already being run out of bathrooms in the maggot states on accusations that they're trans. We had the story of the cis girl, the junior high school cis girl, who was attacked by a cranky old Emory, screaming that she was a trans because his granddaughter lost to her in some junior high sporting event. And ultimately, Sammy Bad Breath, doing the bidding of the Alliance Defaming Freedom, among others, wanted to use the case of Kesha Williams, who had a lot, probably had a lot worse problems than being trans. I mean, she was taken in on drug-related charges. But he wanted to use her black trans back to ride in and decide whether or not trans people can access vaginoplasty, phalloplasty, medioidoplasty, breast removal, breast augmentation. I'm not obsessed with any of this, but that dirty, kinky chaser old motherfucker is. I guarantee you his browser history is full of trans porn. And one picture of a scantily clad trans girl makes his withered old member jump like a snake in a microwave. He's disgusting. And we already know about Clarence. I mean, we call him Clarence Pubes on the Coke Can Fappy Thomas for a reason. He is a sick and perverted abuser of women. They're both fucking perjurers. And that is what he wanted brought before him. And it was a little over a year ago now that his pal, his good Christian friend, Clarence Pubes on the Coke Can Fappy Thomas, begged America's right wing to bring him a case so that he can dissolve the marriages of gay couples across the entire United States in the name of Jesus, and some powdered wig wearing, lace breeches wearing, high heels with buckles wearing wealthy white enslaver dudes, because originalism. Yeah, I know what I'm about to say marks me out as shallow. But I'm learning to accept myself. It's a journey. What's before us now is the Independence Day weekend. And last year I felt like there wasn't a hell of a lot of independence to celebrate, and I marched in the rain with other women in the 4th of July parade in Fayetteville. And we got soaked. But it was so empowering, because there in Fayetteville, beautiful little blue speck in a blood-red sea, Fayetteville, when our float rounded the corner, our women's rights float, it felt like the entire town let up just a deafening cheer in support. And then the November 2022 elections happened. That's another one of those, you know, that's reminiscent of the whole thing from the book of James, faith without works is dead. Cheer for the float, but show up and vote. Ooh, that was impromptu. That was good. Cheer for the float, but show up and vote. Because if everybody cheering for the float had shown up and voted, well, yeah. But the Independence Day weekend is coming. And I just don't feel like there's a hell of a lot to celebrate. I don't know, maybe I'll get the smoker put together. Finally find those couple of screws. You filthy screws! Maybe get a pork shoulder on the grill, or brisket, or maybe just a couple of chickens. Anything. But most importantly, get a Jeroboam of bad tequila and a swirly straw and just start screaming, "Fuck the Supreme Court," at the top of my lungs. It's no comparison by any stretch of the imagination, but I am reminded of that brilliant piece of oratory from the 19th century. Frederick Douglass's address, "What to the Black Man is the 4th of July?" I know, it's a bit much to think that maybe back then he would have said, "What to black people is the 4th of July," but no. The invisibility of women is transitive. Sure, a couple of emails. This is kind of a technical or esoteric question. Chris asks, "I hear occasionally an instrumental score with piano and guitar, sort of a jazzy number at the end of some broadcast. Just curious who plays that. Keep up the good fight." I have no idea. I think that's probably what happens when we switch over between the, when I switch off the stream here and there's some music that plays before the stream picks up. Maybe Brother Deacon Asa knows. I don't know. But thanks for the inquiry. Oh, going back to Joey's journal, Brother Deacon Asa says, "Y'all are out of your element. According to President Trump, Eugene V. Debs was a momentous case in SCOTUS history." And Cynthia, gorgeous trans woman. A gorgeous trans woman who would be perfect for your scenario with the wedding and 303 Creative. Last night, the local Fox affiliate, KTVU News, did a report on some of the trans performers at ASIASF in San Francisco. They featured one trans woman performer who transitioned at 14. My God, she was gorgeous and looked and sounded 100% cis. That is the benefit of having gender-affirming care when you're young. She's so good. There's no way yet. No way you would know if you didn't know. And I can't wait to see the link. I get so inspired when I see young trans kids. Handsome young trans boys. Beautiful young trans girls. Who will never have to know in their lives the struggles that people like I know. Who will never have to deal with a 6'2" frame. Or linebacker shoulders. And all the other things that come with that. That generate so much dysphoria. I can't wait to see that. Now all we got to do is find the handsome trans guy. They're out there. Oh, believe you me, they're out there. Cynthia adds, loathing Christianity. I have loathed Christianity for going on the last 50 years, and that ain't going to change in my lifetime either. And asks, how long do you think before they require all LGBTQ plus people to wear pink triangles? I'm sure that will help the fucking pigs to round us all up when they come to exterminate us. Am I being paranoid? Maybe. But maybe the Jews in Nazi Germany should have been more paranoid early on, too. Well, to be sure, lots of them were and went to every length possible to get the hell out. If I were smart, I'd be making such plans myself. And yet, Cynthia, I understand. Because for a little bit there, after the West Virginia legislature got done with its dirty business, I took a bit of a breath and thought, I got a breather. I get a little bit of a reprieve. Miss Terry and I, my sister, were talking. She kind of felt the same way down in Alabama when most of that hateful garbage didn't pass. Now, not so much. Because you see, one thing you got to take into account is that, and this is important because, like I said, in the past couple of days, the Alabama voting rights decision, while important, it's still Alabama, and it's still going to be a blood-red maggot state. So, Moore versus Harper in North Carolina, you can sort of halfway give the liberals the win on that one because the court that did what was challenged in Moore v. Harper no longer exists. It was a Democratic majority Supreme Court in North Carolina, and it's been replaced with a maggot court. So that made that a safe decision. Oh, but 303 creative, y'all. 303 creative? Baby, that was a knife in the heart of one of the bluest of the blue states. Colorado. Colorado was actually trying to protect, and this is twice that our most puissant dread sovereign supreme Catholic majesties have taken dead aim at Colorado and its attempt to protect its citizens against bigoted, filthy Christians. Where have all the lions gone? Long time passing. Sorry, I promised not to sing, but that one just got into my head and got out of my mouth before I knew what happened. That was a sign. That was the Supreme Court telling Colorado, Washington, Oregon, California, Illinois, Minnesota, Massachusetts, New York, Maryland, New Jersey, don't y'all go too far trying to protect these goddamn queers. Because we want them dead. We want them not to be able to find somewhere to live. We want them to be banned from businesses. We want them to know exactly how much we, good God-fearing Christians, hate them. There I was yesterday talking about how I don't shout and scream so much anymore. Oops. Gino, hey, that would be wonderful. Wonderful. Gino, that'd be fantastic. Gino in Utah says, how about a $300 fuck the Supreme Court match? Gino, I'm all in. And I will happily yell, fuck the Supreme Court, with every matching response. So we have a chance. We have a puncher's chance. If somebody meets the other $10 of Joey's challenge, and somebody meets the $30 of Billable Rick's challenge, and then we pull together enough to match Gino's fuck the Supreme Court challenge, well, we will be able to get down below a $1,000 deficit for the month of June. And Gino, I cannot thank you enough. Thank you. Justice Katanji Brown Jackson, John in Central PA, says, best SCOTUS justice in history, but isn't it ironic we have a black woman associate SCOTUS justice named Justice Jackson? I wonder what Andrew Jackson would think about that. I hope we can see Justice Jackson becoming the Chief Justice. I'd love that. And I would love it if... I would love it if Joe Biden would just come out and say, you know, if three of those rotten motherfuckers keel over dead, I'm raising hell. By the way, Matt added, I will be referring to the Supreme Six, you know, our most puissant, dread, sovereign, supreme Catholic majesties. The Supreme Six. I will be referring to them henceforward as the SS. If the S fits, Matt, I'm going to put that to work. The SS, the Supreme Six. It's no coincidence that it's the same SS as Schutzstaffel. And Jude brought something to mind when I brought up the story out of Florida about, and it's not just EMTs, it's nurses, it's doctors, it's certified nursing assistants, it's anybody. It's a pharmacist, for God's sakes, a phlebotomist. But Jude says, our dear Kevin of Colorado Springs being a former EMT, I can only now imagine our conversation tonight that we'll share on this one out of Florida, Robin. Ethical professionals there are now compromised by the unethical. Yet most importantly, a human being in need of medical care, especially during an acute crisis, being rendered totally helpless and shunned, so to speak. All these decisions out of the Supreme Court today are manifesting Dante's Inferno. We do need each other, always. Jude. Yes, we do, Jude. We do. Well, it's no accident. The beginning of wisdom is understanding just how terrible, how un-American, how utterly loathsome the American right wing is. And remember, all of this was unleashed upon us by Citizens United. That made it absolutely perfectly legal for the Leonard Leos of the world, the Har Har Crows, the Koch boys, well, the Koch boy, one of them's busy sorting pineapples in hell right now, to pour trillions of dollars into dark money movements to shape this place into a nation of hate. Thank you so much, Christopher. Christopher jumped in on Venmo and finished off Joey's challenge saying, SCOTUS is the Achilles heel of this democracy. And like, yes, Christopher, and like any Achilles, the whole point of the Achilles heel is it will get you killed. It is the weakest spot. Thank you to Jack and Shreveport jumping in. So that means we got $20 to go on Billable Rick's challenge. And Henry just took care of that. And we've also got the first $5 toward Gino's $300 have a show on me. Fuck the Supreme Court challenge. So there's the first fuck the Supreme Court on behalf of Henry. Thank you, Henry. Thanks, everybody. All right, so if we were to actually finish this challenge, say within the next hour, we'd have a fighting shot at finishing the month of July completely, fully funded. A girl can dream. Thank you, Texas T. Fuck the Supreme Court. We now have $285 to go on Gino's challenge. Steve in New York saying SS, you know, the Supreme Six. Hey, Susan Sarandon, happy now? Hey, Jill fucking Stein, happy now? Let's talk more about those lotuses that have to rise from the mud, shall we? Thank you, Jude. That will go toward the Fuck the Supreme Court challenge, and that'll get us down to 275. 275. And I have filibustered far too long. I will beg the indulgence of the group, this front porch group. But Brother Bishop Steve from Georgistan, if you would please be so kind as to connect, that would be fantastic. I've got the iPad at 100%. It'll be down to 17% by the time the program's over, because the battery be dead. Not dead, but it's coughing up blood on the porch. And in answer to Chris's question about the music, that jazz number, Brother Deacon Asa says, is Town of 24 Bars by the Unicorn Heads. Not to be confused with Not to be confused with Clown of Eliminating Three, no, Four Departments from Head Ranch, courtesy of the former governor and Secretary of the Department of Energy, Rick Goodhair Perry. Also, if you'd like to participate in Friday on the Front Porch, but you cannot seem to make Skype work, the stress line is there for you, 844-843-4676. I may have sorted out what the Bluetooth problem is. We will find out if someone does call in. I hope I'm right. I have a Bluetooth speaker in the bedroom, and I think it was trying to connect at the same time that the Bluetooth this phone was trying to connect to the Rodecaster. It's only a theory, but yeah, we'll find out. Thank you to Charlene in Rogues Island. We're down to 250 on Gino's Fuck the Supreme Court challenge. God, it would be great if we could finish June fully funded instead of in some sort of dire submarine trench. Steve in New York said, Gary Burbank used to tell his producer to plunk your magic twanger when it was time to cue up the Earl Pitts music. I thought this when you asked Steve to pull up the Skype chat. Yes, the Broadbank Burbcasting Network. How's Mom and them? I don't know if there's anybody. Well, is there anybody in the front porch? No, I didn't forget that. Didn't forget that at all. Lou says you forgot. Nixed student loan debt relief. No. At the very beginning of the program, I said we would be getting to that. And I also said that I think that in the long run, that has a more profound impact than perhaps the 303 Creative. The 303 Creative is just so odiously, fascistly bigoted. The Supremes might actually get people in, whether they meant to or not. You know, they're very good at doing things unintentionally, like teaching Americans to despise Christianity. Hey, good Christians, don't blame me for speaking the truth. No. Take it up with the Southern Baptist Convention, the Roman Catholic Church, and the various maggot denominations. I mean, for God's sakes, there are these so-called Baptists out there now who get in the pulpit and actually call for the murder. Stone-cold, bloody murder of gay people, members of the LGBTQ plus community. And I'm damned if I've heard anything of any denomination, of any divine standing in any pulpit, anywhere, Lutheran, Presbyterian, Unitarian, declare that those fuckers aren't Christians. So it may be a long wait on all of this. Oh, you're welcome, Chris. Chris, town of 24 bars. Thanks, Robin. Don't thank me. Thank Brother Deacon Asa. Frankly, I've never even heard the music. Now I kind of want to. And Jude says, the $10 was in hearing Joey's challenge, as I just can't seem to verbalize fuck the Supreme Court. Not that fuck isn't a perfectly audible expression at times. Well, you don't have to, Jude. That's why I do it for you. Fuck the Supreme Court. And somebody else had already finished Joey's challenge, and somebody else had already finished Billable Rick's challenge, and that left the fuck the Supreme Court challenge. God, with a dried out saguaro cactus about 15 fucking feet long. Don't you worry. You're a good soul, Jude. I'll take the karmic debt on that. With a smile on my face. And Cynthia jumps in. Would a pledge for donating on the third count against a challenge? Need a new credit card cycle before I can donate again. If a pledge counts, then I'll do 25 by July 3rd with a bit more for the PayPal fee. Thank you, Cynthia. That does count. So we're down to 225 on Geno's fuck the Supreme Court challenge. Yes, Cynthia, thank you. So let's run over to the old holler tree and see what's going on over there. Steve, are you there? Is this thing on?
Yeah, I think we're going.
Yeah, good.
Yeah, I can hear you, Robin.
Okay, hey, Christopher.
Hi there. Unhappy Friday.
Yeah, no kidding. Yeah, this is the worst of the worst of the worst tequila, sir, with a positively BPA-laden swirly straw.
I guess the only question is, Faffy going to join Har Har on his yacht or on his Gulfstream 5?
Or will, you know, I don't know. Maybe this time Faffy and Sammy Bad Breath can get together and hang out with Har Har in Faffy's RV in the Walmart parking lot. Because remember, that's where he prefers to spend his time among the common man.
Of course, with the ballpark Franks.
Yeah.
I'm sure Leonard Leo will be around as well.
Hell yeah. Yeah, he'll bring the bougie hot dog buns. Maybe they can roast them on poison oak sticks.
I mean, I can understand Joe in his first term right now vying for a re-election is saying out in front of the public that he doesn't want to screw around with the Supreme Court. But if he gets that second term, which I want to be 100% sure that he is. I don't know if I am, but let's say he gets that second term. He's got to make it 13 I mean, we can't go on like this. Not for another 50 years. No way.
But he needs the House and he needs 60-plus votes in the Senate to be able to pull that off.
Bingo, Roger. Thank you for that.
It's true. It's true.
Yeah, and see, that's the thing.
It looks like a disaster, as
president, Chris, he can say, oh, you know, I don't want to do anything. I don't want to mess around with the Supreme Court. But if Congress comes to him and says, we expanded the Supreme Court, well, then President Biden has to say, okay, well, I'm going to appoint 4 more justices. Gosh, whatever shall I do?
Mm-hmm. Wouldn't be a hard decision.
No.
Shouldn't be.
But, and I just want to mention this, because this all of this is so galling. I wonder what kind of chumps, and I'm trying not to be a bitch about this, but I wonder what kind of chumps Ketanji Brown Jackson and Elena Kagan and Sonia Sotomayor feel like for signing off on that unanimous decision about the little shithead in Pennsylvania who didn't want to work on Sundays.
Oh, the USPS, the postal worker.
Yeah.
That was
Gerald Groff. Groff, I'm Groff, the layabout dog.
You know what would happen to me if I told my boss, sorry, I can't work ever on Sundays. See ya.
According to our most puissant dread sovereign supreme Catholic majesties, if you said, I can't work on Sundays by order of the Pope at Rome,
yeah,
you're in.
This thing on?
It is.
Hey, what's up, y'all?
Hey, Gary, you're coming in good today.
Oh, and let me bring, hang on, before we get going, let me bring whoever's on the stress line into the conversation so I don't screw up. Hey, welcome to the program. Stress line. Talking to you.
Still have the demons,
guest
Robert.
User. I don't know if that's Jude or not.
Well, it's nobody at all at this point in time, so apparently they quit. So we'll just move.
Gary, how's the beautiful sunshine state of Florida?
Just had a tornado warning.
Oh, shit. Not so sunshine.
Well, there's a little concrete ramp between the water. Well, there's another one. You hear it? You hear that? Yeah, that's a little tornado warning.
Yeah.
But, yeah. It's cooled down. It's about 82 degrees now. It was 90-something earlier. It's beautiful. I can't complain. I think I have a date this weekend. I'm moonwalking over here. I got no complaints.
Well, you know, maybe DeSantis is going to need to come up with a rainbow alert. Oh, rainbows! Don't say rainbow.
Did I tell you my rainbow pride story? Did I tell you all my rainbow pride story?
You did mention.
I mean, it was like one.
Go ahead.
Double rainbows. There was a downpour, sideways rain. Double rainbows, and after that, I felt at home. I met a nice girl at the little pride church. She's cis, but that's okay, right, guys and gals? And I'm a happy camper these days, which I haven't been able to say seriously. Ooh, 5 years. Yeah.
Good for you.
So, Robin, did you get the 50%?
Yes, I did.
You gotta look at that.
Let me go down here. Constitutional arsonist. Originalist, fuck that shit. I know affirmative action and the loan program wouldn't make it. The independent legislature ruling was a head fake. You're absolutely right. Here's an odd perspective. Most angels described in the Bible talk with both male and female voices. Also in my Bible, Dead Sea Scrolls, God is described as mother, father. They're dead wrong about all of this, and they're going to ignite the fires of hell in their folly. Here's a pick. Gojack Prime. AI Jack Smith.
Yep. In a Gundam outfit. And I heard, what's that? I heard, Indiana Jones is pretty good.
I've heard good things about it, yes.
I may see that in the theater this weekend.
I would love nothing. I would love nothing more than to sit in a movie theater of the big screen, the booming Dolby sound, surround sound, and watch that. I'd be 18 all over again.
I'm gonna wheel that out and see what's happening there.
That's a really good idea. That's a really, really good idea.
The state is really pissed at Ron DeSantis because, you know, all the the Hispanic people have whatever they were huffing has worn off, and they're like, "What the fuck, y'all serious?" Yeah. And it's causing a problem right now. You got the redneck farmers going, "How are we gonna pick all these beans though?" No, seriously, y'all were everybody. See, some Floridians are slow on the uptake. I'll just put it that way.
Well, Jerry, I would assume all the unwoke will be Jerry,
it's the heat.
Yeah,
it is the heat. But everybody's waking up, and the Hispanic truckers are saying they won't deliver, which would be a shit show. Okay, there's a lot of truckers that this is the end of their run, you know, and they're going, it's easier to stay in Georgia. So I made a joke online and it was funny. Now everybody's going, no, you're serious. I go, I hope nobody needs a roof in Florida this year. Just saying.
Well, since you did mention Monkey Up, he did a little thing yesterday that Floridians have just got to be thrilled about. His pet fascist legislature wanted to pass a bill for the Department of Transportation. It was House Bill 1191, and it created a list of materials that can be used by the Florida Department of Transportation for a study to evaluate the suitability of using this particular material as a this particular material as a construction aggregate material. Most construction aggregates at present are stone, gravel, sand. The Federal Highway Administration has a more extensive list. In Florida, crushed up mollusk shells, for God's sakes.
That makes me mad.
But now, now in Monkey Up's Florida, y'all may wind up with some glow-in-the-dark highways. Because his pet legislature...
I'm just standing right here in the street. Just standing.
Because now the state of Florida wants to make phosphogypsum an aggregate material for road building.
Phosphogypsum.
Tell me
that's not pH.
No. Phosphogypsum is a radioactive substance.
I'm not going to even get to the radioactive part because he's directly putting his money in his pocket because somebody has a whole bunch of this lying around, and that's how things go in Florida. Let's start with the first part of this scientific equation, phosphorus. That's the last fucking thing we need going in the waterways right now. We're having a complete phosphorus bloom all over the planet. That's what's causing this nasty seaweed.
And isn't that the shit that we dropped on the kind, innocent people of Iraq?
Oh, that was white phosphorus munitions. You're thinking both of white phosphorus and depleted uranium.
Red phosphorus.
Mm. So maybe we could mix that in the road too.
The cancer part, but I've always said, how come they don't use all the recycled plastic to fill the roads? You wouldn't have even treated or heated. All you'd have to do
what
is
about solar roads?
Separate it.
Well, the federal solar the roads. Federal
that's
highway
never going to happen.
The Federal Highway Administration lets states use rubber from car tires, waste glass, reclaimed concrete material, old asphalt,
plastic. Old plastic bottles would be perfect. I think,
you know, here in West Virginia, when the roads freeze in winter, the DOH is allowed to use coal waste to spray on the roads. I always loved what they do in the upper Midwest, though, in say, Wisconsin. They spray cheese-making brine on the roads. Probably makes the highways a little bit funky.
Limburger.
Mmm. Oh, the camembert. Oh, the cat's eating it. I'm afraid it's a bit runny today, sir. Okay, how fucking runny it is. Bring on the fromage de la Belle France. God.
Well, all we could say is that this goddamn June is over. And then they'll be back at it again next year. Just in time for the election. Now, here's the thing. Their approval numbers are in the absolute toilet. And they're whiny little bitches about it, of course. But do you really think that this is going to improve? Do they think this is going to improve their image? And do you think next year they'll come back and make some moderate decisions just in time for the election?
Do you think they give a rat's ass about their image?
Bingo,
well,
Roger.
Well, bingo. Well, they do cry about it. They what have cried cry? About it.
Yeah, but that's performative, Christopher. Yeah.
Okay.
They have a lifetime appointment. They get gifted incredible vacations. They get their debt wiped out when they decide they need to have a nicer house. And as in the case of Amy Comey Barrett, her old house gets purchased, and God knows how much extra they paid for it for her to buy a house fitting a Supreme Court justice.
And mommy
they don't
gets a
give
house
a
too.
Fuck.
Mommy Fappy gets a house.
Yeah, yeah, and you forgot.
Fappy's mommy got a house.
Right, and I was just going to say, Roger, you forgot about the part of if mom isn't doing so well and, you know, you don't really have the cash to put her in a assisted living, you get one of your owners to buy a house and have one-on-one care.
I love beer, Kavanaugh. You know, you get all your debts taken care of and forgiven.
All right. Kavanaugh got his debts taken care of. Amy Comey Barrett got bought out. Thomas's mother got her old house remodeled and taken care of forever. Alito goes off to camping trips that are luxury numbers. They don't give a rat's ass about the public.
They made me sit in first class. They made me do it.
Well, Christopher, the seat was – nobody was taking it.
I know. I did it out of
pity. I'm going to tell you something. I seldom disagree with Robin, but I disagreed with an awful lot tonight. But I won't get into that. What I will get into is I think this stuff about ridiculing them and all that, that's all well and good. I think what it comes down to is Colorado just needs to ignore the court. Biden just needs to ignore the court.
The just old Andrew Jackson, which we've talked about before, Steve, yeah. Huh?
Just ignore it.
Well, I would like to see somebody apply to Harvard, Yale, Princeton, that number, and go up and complain that they didn't get admitted because of the affirmative action that has been perpetuated through legacy admissions. And if that
George W. Bush, who's not that he steal?
All right. But what I'm getting at is they wiped out affirmative action based on race. Well, the legacy admissions are affirmative action based on white race. And if they're not going to be able to take race into account to try and create a student body that approaches the diversity of the people in this country, then those goddamn legacy admissions, and my father happened to get one. He was the class of 1921, I believe. And I said 1921, of Princeton. which he promptly flunked out in his freshman year and never went back. But the fact is, it's a lily white affirmative action program, and all legacy admission should be outlawed.
Yeah, Tiny Digit Donnie, right? Did he really, on merit, he made it to college? Or does anyone really believe that?
Of course not. But you know what? And Robin's going to appreciate this. Legacy admissions are facially race neutral.
No, they're not.
Well,
no,
yes,
facially, they are. Facially, Roger, he's right. They are. Facially. Constructively, they're not.
Realistically, they're not. But they're facially race neutral.
I mean, what was it? 42% of admissions to Harvard last year were legacies?
Yeah, Roger. And who's to say that a black person can't be a legacy? Cue the laughter.
Yeah, I Kenneth will Copeland. Accept your point, but very begrudgingly.
No, I mean, it's you're right that it's substantive. It's in reality, it's facially, it's white affirmative action, but they're facially neutral.
I would wonder if you take the graduation rate from the Ivy League and what percent of the graduates are white from the Ivy League. And then that would be the distribution you would get with legacy admissions.
Can we please change the name of the Ivy League to the Whitey League?
That's true, because they're not green.
No, I think it should be the Caucus League, as in Caucasian.
The Caucasian League, yeah, sure.
The Caucasus League. I'm sorry.
I'm serious. I really think the solution to this problem lies in college athletics. Make the University of Alabama play an all field an all white football team for one season.
Cool.
And those goddamn Tide fans will march to Washington and burn the Supreme Court to the ground.
And do you want to know what's really nefarious about this decision? Will this cause it? I don't know. But this really begins to push schools that have large endowments, et cetera, away from taking federal money. Because, hey, we don't want the federal – we're going to stop taking federal money so we can do admissions however we want them and be completely private. And you may get a situation and say, now we can go back to taking race into account.
By the way, we don't have
the money to pay.
I have to interrupt just for a minute, because one, we got 15 minutes to finish the second hour of the program, and we got $250 to go on Gino's "fuck the Supreme Court" challenge, and I want to say "fuck the Supreme Court" a whole lot more. So, please, can we finish that off in the next 15 minutes and have a
Robin,
fighting chance?
Robin, put me down for 10.
Okay, thank you, Christopher.
I got paid today. Put me down for 10.
Thank you, Christopher. So, 240, fuck the Supreme Court. You want to say it yourself, Christopher? You're here.
Yeah, fuck the Supreme Court.
Yeah.
And fuck their owners and operators.
And fuck Har-Har and Lee-Lee. Yeah.
Yes.
Secondly, I have to award a cowbell. This is probably going to be the biggest cowbell of the evening. That goes to Matt in San Francisco, who just sent me an email. He sent me an internet. You know, it's a series of tubes. It's not a big truck.
Onion on your belt.
Yeah. God, Ted Stevens, I'm so glad you're dead. And you're going to be dead until the sun burns out. How awesome is that? And then again, we all will be. Wouldn't it suck to have been an early human and have to spend that much more time dead? Never mind, that's a bit grim. No, that great big whopping cowbell for Matt was for an email, the subject line of which was Supreme Court Vacations. And it's a photograph of the libertarian death thermos. The Supreme Court's been working so hard, they deserve a vacation. And a picture of the Ocean Gate submersible. Get in there! Get in there! It's only meant for five. Stop! Get it! You! Damn it! God damn it, handmade, you two! Women and children first! I had to...
Trust us, you'll love it. Celine Dion is the entertainment.
And Jeremy just got us to 230. Thank you, Jeremy in Vermont. Thank you so much. And Lee asks, am I the only one who got the Monty Python reference? All I have to say is spam, 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 spam. Yeah, bring on the fromage de la Belle France. Ivy League, Lee suggests also, maybe not Ivy League, Ivory White League, Ivory Snow League. Bullshit, says Darlene in Connecticut. I agree with Christopher that the SCROTUS is roundly despised, does bother the Supreme Six, the SS. It's not performative. Why? Because, and you said it many, many times before, Robin, they want it all. The cognitive dissonance among the sleazy SS is utterly breathtaking. Fuck the SS. Damn right.
I mean, Alito, he sounds like a real whiny little
fuck
bitch.
Fuck him with Trump's dick, okay?
Can they find it?
Tiny digit.
On a slightly different course, the flare-up that happened in Russia not so long ago.
Last weekend.
Was that not possibly simply a rerouting of the Wagner Group in through Russia, around through Belarus, because it is much closer to Kiev than where they are now in, I think they call it the Donbass, and it's a very short sprint from Belarus into Kiev. And could that have been a giant smokescreen to hide the fact of an incredible relocation of the Wagner Group posing to do an all-out assault on Kyiv?
Possible, but they're not that good of fighters, Roger. That's the problem.
There's a hell of a lot less territory to get from the border of Belarus to Kyiv than it is from to cross the territory that they're presently fighting in, trying to get there. Just a thought, you know. Throw it out there.
No. I mean,
the smokescreen is incredibly thick. I mean, it's thicker than the pall falling over New York City right now. I've had they got up to 240 or something today.
In my sweet home, Chicago. Oh, God, my friends have been telling me about that. Oh, my God.
But it just seems to me that it's a little too convenient that the entire media was so involved on how they were 200 kilometers from Moscow, and it was so convenient that there was no real punishment for the head of that Wagner Group, and he was allowed to go to Belarus. Just seemed a little bit fishy to me.
Well, it does. I mean, ordinarily you would expect Putin to just go in and murder him. The problem is that Evgeny Prigozhin's Wagner Group doesn't just do mercenaries for the Ukraine war. He's kind of like... who's the American theocratic fascist asshole that ran, what was it, BlackRock?
No, Blackwater.
Blackwater. Eric Prince. Eric Prince.
Well, you know who his sister is, right?
Right. Yeah, yep. Betsy DeVos.
Betsy DeVos, right. Yeah.
But Evgeny Prigozhin is kind of the Russian version of Eric Prince, to the extent that he's got mercenaries all over the world, and Putin gets a cut of all the fees that are paid to Evgeny Prigozhin for his Wagner Group thugs. And Putin is himself, first and foremost, a thief, a cut purse, a foot pad. You know, he's just an old piece of shit KGB spook. And they all, you know, none of them were doing okay on their old USSR salaries, so they augmented it with criminal enterprises. So Putin likes the money more than he feels the need to kill Prigozhin.
That makes a lot of sense.
And if he's in Belarus, that means he's, you know, within striking distance if necessary, and Alexander Lukashenko will not tell Putin no.
No, of course not. A lackey never says no. I heard that Poot, when he was running away from his East Germany post, took with him everything that wasn't nailed down. And even then, he took, you know, he pried off whatever he fucking could. You called him a thief and a cut purse. That's exactly what he is.
Well, truth be told, he probably was not alone in that.
Oh, yeah. I totally agree with that.
You know what? Actually, about the last time anything good was on the Majority Report, I'm obsessed with it.
I read the email, Steve.
You are, yeah, a little bit.
I just find, after watching today, I watched for about 10 minutes. I was so disgusted at these fucking know-nothings who don't have a fucking clue what they're talking about, speaking with such authority about what they don't know what they're talking about, and I can't watch anymore.
Well, you know, you've taken the first step, Steve. You know, you're powerless over the Majority Report, and your life has become unmanageable.
totally cowbell.
Okay,
that
was, yeah, I would, I think you need a cow. That was really, really good. But no, there was a
we lady, know
there was a no but there was a woman on there a few days ago who was a Russia expert, and did you see this, Christopher?
Yes,
she was outstanding, and she was really good and talked about that. If anybody wants to catch
that's
that,
why
I don't
you
remember
can't
when
swear
it, was.
It all off. Sometimes they have some real bad shows. I don't dispute that.
They need to get rid of Emma, and they need to get rid of Matt Leck. Anyway, I'm done.
Really?
I'm done. Yes, they're both stupid and ignorant. Ignorant beyond belief.
Well, I'm not taking a position on this because I wouldn't recognize either of their voices or their faces.
No, I understand. And I'm just going to shut up now because it's unseemly and low class for me to do that, but sometimes I have to vent, so I'm done.
But you did bring up Gary Burbank. How are the Reds doing? I haven't been paying attention.
Well, they won 12 in a row, and then they lost the series to the Braves. But you know what? Each of those games were high scoring, and there were only one run. So the Reds can play with the Braves. The problem with the Reds is the pitching. They're pitching too many walks, too many two-out home runs, and
is it the starters or the bullpen or both?
It's both. And my understanding is I haven't followed them seriously in quite a while, but I heard that they have. I think I heard two or three of their starting rotation is out injured. So once those people come back. So they lost two of three, then they won two of three in Baltimore, and they're playing they're exciting as hell to watch.
Well, keep in mind, Steve, that below 500 is, it's possible that that will win the division.
Well, they're not below 500, possible, though.
No, they're not, but they're close. I mean, everybody's right around 500.
Yeah, I think they're 5 or 6 games over. Mm-hmm. But I'll tell you what, the Braves are fucking good. And Robin,
yeah,
can,
a real
Robin,
team.
Robin can will understand where I'm coming from. For the longest time, the Braves were the laughing stock. That's where you went when your team was in a slump. You could almost guarantee it.
You could get well.
Oh, you could get well.
Go get well in Atlanta.
Yep. And you know
that was after the fall of the Bobby Cox Empire.
No, wait,
Christopher, hold on. I realize you're young, but no, this was from 1970 to 1988.
Before Dale Murphy.
No, Dale Murphy was right there.
Yeah. Oh yeah.
Oh yeah,
Ralph
Gar, you know, they had some great players, but they just, and so, God, I've told this story before. Back when Ted still owned the Braves, one of the perks of working for CNN in Atlanta, and there's no CNN in Atlanta anymore. Did y'all know that?
No.
Yeah, CNN has been moved entirely to New York. With a Washington bureau, it was a wonderful thing to live in Atlanta and work for CNN. And back then, in those heady Halcon days, Steve,
mm-hmm.
Yeah, with the piping of the Calliope in the background behind me, and the best part of Anderson Cooper hadn't even yet slid down his mama's leg.
Oh. There's
and
a shot.
Sorry. Bitchy of me, I know. But, oh, I mean, God. Right here in my studio. Hold on. Where is it? Saw it just the other day. There it is. I keep it in a place of honor. Right under the dead compressor that's been dead for 15 years. I
have a really big paperweight.
I have my windshield sticker parking permit for Turner Broadcasting System. Get this. This is kind of wild. My parking pass number was 00278.
Oh, my God.
I was the 278th employee at CNN in Atlanta. And it was a beautiful
almost 007.
Double aught two seven eight. But I keep it here because it and I used to have my CNN ID that got lost somewhere along the way. But it was an amazing time because
news was still news.
You had young people. I mean, for God's sakes. The first time I sat down behind the microphone in the broadcast booth and looked through the window at my engineer, and it was either Seglinda Loper or Jim Argendelli or Bob Robb or Roger Wilson, who's been on this show, and I got the countdown, and they opened the mic. The minute I said, CNN Radio News, I became the youngest person ever to deliver a global radio network newscast. Which I still think is cool as shit.
Yeah, I was just going to say,
that's a pretty good headstone thing.
That's you know what? You ought to, that needs to be somewhere on something that a bio for you.
And how many times
have I told you, you don't toot your horn enough?
I don't think there's an air check of me, and everybody knows what my last name is. It's not going to be my last name for very much longer. My name change is coming through, and then I can get my passport and be at least able to flee the country. But, yeah, they'd play the sounder. You know, CBS had theirs, ABC had theirs, CNN had theirs. CNN Radio News, I'm Robin Welch. And It was a thrill. And everybody, like I said, I was 24 years old. And I was working with all of these young people who desperately wanted to do journalism, who had grown up with Uncle Walter and Huntley and Brinkley and, you know, the heavy hitters.
Dan Rather was even a really kind of a heavy hitter then.
Yeah,
even.
Yeah. And it was not a union job. We were not paid awesomely. But I was paid, but back then I made enough money to live in a nice little three-bedroom apartment in the burbs of Atlanta and would get off work at like 10, be back at my complex by 10:30 and throwing darts in the bar across the street by 11. I loved to throw darts. It was fun. Every now and then the bartender, a guy named Jeffrey Arthur, would yell, because he often, bartenders back then would wear ref jerseys, and he would yell, TV timeout, aiming fluid break, and
aiming fluid,
and he would pour shots of Zambuca.
Yes.
And we'd all go over and get our shots of Zambuca and get back to it, because, you know, it was good for business. And it was just an absolutely magic time. But the journalism that was going on there was fantastic, and, you know, dedicated, and people who wanted to really, 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 you know, wanted a career in broadcast and broadcast journalism. You know, the old people at CNN were 40. You know, with the exception of the Bernie Shaws. You know, the flagship folks.
Did you like Bernie Shaw? Did you like Bernie Shaw?
Bernie,
how old was he then?
The bloom went off the rose with Bernie at the Democratic debate when he dropped that gotcha on Michael Dukakis. But I mean, I got to interview. Here's a name. I got to interview Adolfo Calero by phone.
Who's that?
He was one of the heads of the Contras.
Oh, jeez.
Oh.
And how old were you?
24.
Isn't that just honestly, this sounds like when I went to Capitol Hill.
Little ginger-haired closeted trans. And they'd come and get me on some shifts. They'd come to me from deep in the, and I'd say, yeah, Robin, come with us. Okay. And I would sit there and do the intro to Larry King Live or Crossfire or TBS Newswatch. I would give anything for a few of those recordings. I was on air on the midnight shift one night when the United States Navy began shelling some Iranians, and I was like, shit, it's on.
So, Robin, did you have like a conversation or two with Tucker Carlson then?
Oh, no. He was in D.C.
Oh, okay.
Had a few conversations with Ted. That was awesome.
I bet.
Ted would come strolling through the building, and he really was. He was a nice guy.
What about Jane?
Jane was after I was gone. I got a Jane Fonda story in the stack, by the way. Absolutely idiotic. Not her, the story. But Ted would travel with his pilot, his private pilot for his private jet. Oh, and, you know, he was Ted fucking Turner. And he would walk into the radio division, and his pilot would be walking right beside him, and she was about 9 feet tall, with 4-inch pumps, and just devastatingly beautiful, and he was handsome as hell. And that voice and that mustache, and in fact, I got off work one night, and he was still drinking back then. That man could drink. I mean, that man could drink at like Peter O'Toole and Richard Burton levels. And there was in CNN Center, because, you know, CNN had
not quite Mickey Rooney, though.
CNN had one side
that
of the building.
That's a special liver.
It had once been just called the Omni. And at one point in time, Sid and Marty Croft, you know, H.R. Puff and stuff and all of that, had built the world's largest indoor amusement park at the time. The world of Sid and Marty Croft. And it went belly up. And so Ted bought CNN Center. Half of that became CNN. The other half was the Omni Hotel. And the middle area was, you know, businesses and boutiques. And, I mean, there was a...
Well, that's why the basketball place was called the Omni, right?
Right. It was all, one complex.
Yeah.
The Turtles tapes and records. If Steve from Georgia stands anywhere near the conversation right now, he'll remember Turtles tapes and records. And that's where I had a lovely little conversation with Miss Rosalind.
Nice.
But there was a pub called Reggie's, and it was all done up with this Victorian era colonial British motif, you know, with the pith helmet and the guy with the brush, you know, toothbrush mustache. I mean, not toothbrush, but, you know, pencil thin mustache, the Boston Blackie kind. Two-tone Ricky Ricardo jacket and an autographed picture of Andy Devine. Nobody's going to get that. Somebody will, probably on the podcast. But I walk in and Ted's sitting there, and I was my father's kid. You know, I didn't believe anybody was better than me or I was better than anybody, so I just pulled up and sat down next to Ted and ordered, I think, a Bass. Still had my badge on. He said, "You work for me?" I said, "Yes, I do. And I admire you more than any other man in America." And in seventh grade, my best friend signed my annual and said, "In about 6 or 7 years, we'll be listening to you working for Ted Turner." He said, "Really?" I said, "Yeah." He said, "I'd love to see that." I said, "But yeah, this is my dream." He said, "That makes
me
happy."
What do you say to that?
He said, "That makes me happy. That's what I wanted. That's what I wanted when I made this." He said, "You like the job?" I said, "I love the job."
He said, she cut out.
Not saying anything.
Did I? Yeah.
Anyhow, getting back to Jane Fonda, I think she is probably one of the finest, nicest celebrity-type folk I've ever met. She was just super nice and friendly.
Okay, so...
Am I coming through,
or is the internet dead? Can somebody answer me on that?
Hey, Robin.
Robin, you dropped out when you walked up and were talking with Ted Turner in the seventh grade, said you were going to be working for him sometime, and then you cut out.
Okay.
Yeah. What was his reply when you said that?
Oh, he said he was happy. He said that's how he wanted people to feel about where they worked and working for him. And I said, "I do." And he said, "Well, beer's on me." And paid for my Bass, and we both had a shot of bourbon. It's nice. It's fun. I by God felt like some damn body. I'm having to restart the streamer because for some reason or another, it just crapped out.
Anyhow, Jane Fonda came to Arcadia, California one time. And there was a house party that I was invited to with her there. And I brought Dad along with me, and he was old and more decrepit than I am. And there was this line of people wanting to talk to Jane. And I got in the line, walked up to her, and, "Hi, how are you?" da-da-da-da-da. I said, "My dad would really like to talk to you. He's sitting over there on the couch, but he can't get up and stand in line and all the rest of that stuff. So could you stop over and, you know, at some point in the evening, say hi to him?" This was in a private home. There were maybe 15, 20 people there. And pretty soon, the line kind of got down, and Jane Fonda got up and sat down next to Dad. And they must have sat there and talked for 15, 20 minutes. And she was just one of the most down-to-home, genuinely nice people that I've ever met. I mean, well, Bonnie Raitt's kind of nice, too. But I didn't even know who the fuck she was when she was talking to me. that's another story. I was selling at Farmer's Market.
One of the best shows I've seen in a very long time.
I was selling produce at Farmer's Market. And his goddamn redhead, I mean, you have your regular customers, and his redhead comes up to talk to me. And she starts talking about all kinds of how do you grow it, how well are you doing. You know, really nice conversation. But she ain't buying a fucking thing. You know, and I'm trying to sell her shit, and she doesn't want to buy anything. She doesn't tell me why she didn't want to buy anything, but she didn't buy anything. Finally, I get rid of her to take care of a cash-paying customer, because, goddammit, this is how I'm making money. And about 10 or 15 minutes later, somebody comes up, well, what was Bonnie talking to you about? I go, who the fuck's Bonnie?
Who?
And, you know, I had no clue, because I'm not a music person. But anyhow, Bonnie was not really nice and all the rest of it. Now I kind of feel guilty that I shut her down
so
quick.
Yeah, you should. You should wear that. Like, but, an albatross.
God damn it, I wanted
like
money.
Come on, who are you, Roger?
If you're taking my time at Farmer's Market, you better have your fucking wallet.
Oh, God, yeah, what's the word I'm looking for?
Garlic sauerkraut, freeze-dried peaches.
No sauerkraut for you, Bonnie.
Well,
get out of the line.
You know, if there's a line of people, there was a whole bunch of people around, of course, because she was famous and all that shit. And I'm looking at all these customers just walking right on by me and all the rest of them. I'm not selling anything, man. I got produce that I got to sell, because you can't take a head of lettuce home, store it for a week, and bring it back to Farmer's Market. You picked it, you got to sell it. And she wasn't buying shit. But anyhow.
God damn it, Roger. No, actually, that was one of the best shows. She put on a fucking incredible show when I saw her. Outside, and it was in Grass Valley, California. It was fucking gorgeous summer night and awesome. One of the best shows I've ever seen.
Was this before or after Clapton wrote Layla?
What, Jeremy?
So was this before or after Clapton wrote Layla?
Before or after rate. What? You're coming in real faint.
Before or after Clapton wrote Layla?
The what? I still can't hear you.
Before or after Clapton wrote Layla?
Oh. Well,
that's
after,
about Bonnie Raitt.
Is it?
It's about her?
Yes,
no,
about
I no,
her.
Well,
yes,
no, I thought it was about George Harrison's wife.
No, it was Bonnie Raitt was Layla. She wrote another song about George Harrison's wife. He wrote two songs about other husbands' wives. Layla was Bonnie Raitt.
Really?
Yes.
That sounds a little urban legendy. I think the research department needs to get on that.
I think it's George. Yeah, we need a check on that. I thought it was George Harrison's wife. I could be wrong. Wouldn't be the first. Won't be the last.
But, no, anyway, just to wrap up real quick, because Matt wrote in and said, Stream died right at working for Ted Turner. So, you know, I worked there until I decided I wanted to go back to the mountains, and one of my best friends had started law school and was writing me letters. We wrote letters back then, you know. I said, this is the most amazing academic experience I've ever had. This is absolutely made for you. You'll kill in law school. You know, you got to go. So, yeah, why not? Because I tried to be an objective journalist, and I realized objectivity is for the birds. When people are hurt, when people are being hurt, you don't talk about the other side of the coin of the people who are doing all the hurting of the people and somehow make, you know. I rejected the idea of both-siderism before both-siderism was even a thing. And went off to law school. No, I mentioned I've got a really dumb story about Jane Fonda in the stack today. Clickbait from hell. Jane Fonda said white men are to blame for the climate crisis and called for them all to be arrested and jailed.
And who said this?
Yeah, it stems from remarks she made at Cannes. You know, the film festival.
God damn, Robin had the stream drop again.
Robin?
Yeah, I'm
there
here.
There you are. Okay. Yeah, we heard. Go ahead.
At Cannes, Jane Fonda said, "Oh, we've got about 7-8 years to cut ourselves in half of what we use of fossil fuels, and unfortunately, the people that have the least responsibility for it are hit the hardest. Global South, people on islands, poor people of color. It's a tragedy that we have to absolutely stop. We have to arrest and jail those men. They're all men behind this." And added, "It's good for us all to realize there would be no climate crisis if there was no racism. There would be no climate crisis if there was no patriarchy, a mindset that sees things in a hierarchical way. White men are the things that matter, and then everything else is at the bottom." She ain't wrong. And she went on the Kelly Clarkson show, telling Rita Moreno, they're not going to put their poison, their pollution, in Bel Air. They got to find some place where poor people or indigenous people or people of color are living. Hey, Jane. If anybody's listening who's connected to Ms. Fonda, you're welcome in Appalachia anytime. We'd love for you to raise a little hell about the Appalachian apocalypse. But she went on and said, you can take anything, sexism, racism, misogyny, homophobia, whatever, the war. If you really get into it and study it and learn about it and the history of it, everything's connected. There'd be no climate crisis if it weren't for racism. And then in Cannes, she said, it's important because we have to get out of the silos. Feminists over here, environmentalists over there. That's what I learned when I started being an activist around the Vietnam War. The more you go down any issue, the more you realize it's all connected. And if we solve the climate crisis and haven't solved those other things, we're still going to be in trouble.
Yeah, that's why the circular fire...
Where is she wrong?
No, she's mostly right, but I will say that one of the pollution industry CEOs is a woman. I'm thinking BP, maybe, after they got rid of the British guy.
Every marginalized group has its bootlickers.
We care about the small people. Remember that guy?
Yeah.
They launched his ass, right? And I think now they have a woman at the helm.
But every marginalized group has its bootlicks.
We are
20 minutes into the third hour of the program. We got 40 minutes to come up with $225 to meet Gino's fuck the Supreme Court challenge. And I haven't responded to a donation with a big fuck the Supreme Court in rather a long while now.
Hey, Robin, it's been a long time for me. I won't get into why. I have to put the money in my PayPal, but put me down for 25.
Awesome. Thank you. Thank you, Steve. So $200
By the way, in my pressure cooker last night,
yes?
Steel cut oats.
And?
They only take 20 minutes.
So you were having steel cut oats for dinner?
Oh, no. What I'm trying to do is make my meals so I don't – I'm cutting way down on eating out. So I just make a gob of steel cut oats, put them in the fridge, and then every breakfast take a cup or so out. Put some fruit and shit on them, have a protein shake, and that's my
That actually sounds rather pleasant. Did you try my suggestion of making them with buttermilk?
No. I'm new to the cooker, I will experiment at some point, but I don't know how to quite use it yet. I've only made a couple things, and I don't want to deviate from a recipe too much. Plus, I'm trying again. I've gained a lot of weight.
I hear you, Steve. I can relate to that.
I had lap band surgery and was down almost 80 pounds, and I've gained an awful lot of that back. But that does sound good, I hope that doesn't sound stupid. When it comes to something like a pressure cooker, I've never cooked with before. I don't want to experiment too much yet until I get more of a feel for it. Does that make sense?
It's a skill, Steve. Yeah, it's a skill. Yeah. It's
so,
a skill.
And by the way, if anyone wants to get one of these things, it's called Instant Pot. It's not just a pressure cooker. You can saute in it. You can like a slow cooker in it, and it's I only spent $108 on it. It is one of the best things, one of the best cooking purchases I've ever made.
And Steve, it's the only way you can get even close to restaurant quality pot stickers or Goyser.
Okay. I made a beef roast the other night with like put carrots and I don't chop onions, like slice up onions in quarters and carrots and it does everything in probably about an hour and a half, everything. And it comes out and the beef is just – because I've made beef in crock pot before and I always found the crock pot dried things out. But wasn't the case at all with this. It was tender. It was effing perfect. And I've had, you know, I mean, you know, where I am, when a cheap lunch is $18, and you do that 4 or 5 times a week, that's $100. I know I'm one of those highfalutin, high paid lawyers, but not. I hope everyone got the hint that that's or the sarcasm there. But it's nice to save $100, and you know, you don't know what you're getting when you go out. And that's a big thing for me. I need to eat much better and eat what I know is in it. And I've cut way down on the alcohol. And those are fairly simple things to, you know. And I'm back to the gym twice a week right now. I've gone. I have a plan on how I'm doing that to make it regular part of my schedule. Four weeks at twice a week, then 4 weeks at 3 times a week, then 4 weeks at 3 times a week with a different type of exercise, and then up to 3 times, then 4 times a week, just to, you know, you get it entrenched in your schedule. So I'm doing all that shit.
All right. With regards to the Instapot, it's a fantastic device. I'm not knocking it at all. Mm-hmm. But do not follow some of the internet type stuff, and don't try to use it as a canner. So don't can anything in it, i.e. the jars and all that. But for all those other meals, the Instapot is a fantastic device.
And you know what, Roger, I'll have to tell you something. I've learned a lot from you about canning. Canning is one of those things where it's great, but if you don't know what you're doing, you can make yourself pretty sick.
Well, you can kill yourself.
Yeah, okay. It's
we had a phone call on the hotline, which is we have a 800 number hotline that we give advice to people that call in with problems. Uh-huh. And one of the ladies that was on it about a year ago, I guess now, she got a phone call and the person said she was doing. I forget exactly how it worked, but she was calling to find out if what she was doing it correctly. But she was pressure cooking for a good half hour longer in the pressure cooker than what is needed and was told that. And she said, well, I'm just really making sure because about 10 years ago, 4 people in my family died from my home canned green beans.
Jesus.
Roger, you'll get a kick out of this. My grandmother was the first woman in this whole general area to successfully can green beans and not kill people.
Well, it can be done, but it's one of the favorite things that's killed people with botulism. And one of the things here, Eastern Oregon, if you're going to kill yourself with botulism or try to, the best place to do it is in Eastern Oregon because there's so many people that have fucked up their canning. The doctors in Eastern Oregon spot botulism poisoning right away because there's all kinds of people that try to kill themselves every year in Eastern Oregon.
How do they vote?
Well, yeah, they vote Republican, but
tell the doctors to move.
Yeah.
Eastern Oregon, the botulism capital of America.
It is.
Well, and,
it is.
And there at Eastern Oregon Polytechnic A&M, the sports teams are the Fighting Toxins.
Okay,
well, I'm sorry.
I don't know. Eastern Oregon is almost Western Idaho.
Well, I mean that's why the French fries are or Ida, aren't they?
Yeah.
Oh God, the llama! He's trying to kill the raw llama, Robin.
Robin, I'm gonna tell you something. I never knew that smell could come through the internet. But good Jesus! Oof!
That was a stinker, huh?
Oh. That wasn't quite Gunnar because there was at least some joy that came out of it.
Well, I mean, the name of the brand is Or Ida. It's Oregon, Idaho French fries.
Speaking of that,
is that true?
Yes.
Yes.
Oh, I thought
Idaho prides itself on being the potato capital of the United States, and Eastern Oregon is very similar in climate to Idaho.
Okay.
And Eastern Oregon grows a lot of potatoes, and the company would use potatoes for both Oregon and Idaho, so they became Or Ida.
That's a fun
fact. By the way, courtesy of Ralph serving as the Horn ad hoc Eric Clapton recording of Layla Research Department, in point of fact, Layla was about George Harrison's wife.
I put an article about it in the chat. So,
and in fact, taking it a step further, it was inspired because Eric Clapton had read a Persian epic poem, Layla and Manjun.
Yeah, that's exactly what the article that I was that the AmericanSongwriter.com? Is that where it came from?
Yes, indeedly.
Oh, that's the one because I saw something about Persian something in there when I looked at it. So it's to say I got the same article.
And
minds think alike.
Thank you to Emilio for getting us down to 190. 19 people at $10. It'll be a half of a community made miracle. We were over 2,000. From last night to tonight to it's well over. It's half of what the deficit was, so we can close out the month of June in a $1,000 fundraising hole instead of in a $1,700 fundraising hole if we can raise $190 more. Dave number 11 reminds me, celebrity encounters. The best was Alan Arkin tousling my 5-year-old head after Brian Keith pushed his way past me. Aww. Shame on you, Brian Keith, for pushing your way past Dave number 11. And Alan Arkin, you know, he did so much great work. He passed away today. He probably just didn't want to stick around to see the Supreme Court shit on America some more. Passed away at 89. And there's all kinds of great roles. I mean, most recently, the Kominsky Method was fantastic with Michael Douglas. But my favorite role of his, I mean, we all know how I feel about The In-Laws, 1978. I still think it's one of the most perfect, wacky, zany, madcap comedies ever made. In fact, Alan Arkin once said that Peter Falk read the script to The In-Laws and looked at Alan Arkin and said, "Is this funny?" And Alan looked at him and said, "Oh, it's a scream. I can't wait." Okay. But in The In-Laws, Alan Arkin plays mild-mannered dentist Sheldon Cornpet, who is thrust into this madcap, wacky, zany spy versus spy kind of... I mean, can you spoiler a 1978 film? Well, yes, you can. If young people are listening, but suffice to say that Peter Falk plays a rogue CIA agent. I'm your classic agency type, squat, low to the ground, and Alan Arkin plays a mild mannered dentist working in Manhattan, living in New Jersey. Drives a BMW, His wife is played by Nancy Dessau. And when the shit hits the fan and the feds come roaring up her driveway, she looks at her daughter and says, "Who was in the basement last night? Vince Ricardo. That crazy little bastard's involved your poor father in something." And he's perfect. He's just perfect in that film. And I hope his passing was
Little Miss Sunshine.
Painless. Little Miss Sunshine is absolutely genius.
Yeah.
But there's nothing he couldn't play. Oh, by the way, Matt in San Francisco says Or Ida. I was today years old when I found out about Or Ida. Don't feel bad. It only dawned on me the other day when I was picking some up at the grocery store. I went ORE-IDA. That's Oregon and Idaho. And it only dawned on me because we had had conversations about Idaho wanting to co-opt part of Oregon to secede into Idaho because, you know.
Because of Bruga Bruga Bundy.
Hey, well, Bruga Bruga Tran, Bruga Bruga Queer, Bruga Bruga.
Do we have an update on Bundy, on one of the Bundy spawn? What isn't he running for governor or some shit like that?
I thought he was in prison by now.
Okay.
Robin, if Trump is any indication, in prison running for governor, I'm sorry, those are not mutually exclusive.
Well, that's true. And we may yet have a presidential ticket in November 2024 that features a pair of convicted felons in Bobby Kennedy Jr. and Nitwit Nero.
God. Bring back polio, damn it!
Isn't that sad? I just find the whole Bobby Kennedy thing sad.
It is sad.
Yeah, but there were so many red flags from so early on. I should bring Annette back here just to tell her Bobby Kennedy stories from the Lib Boat cruise when he was hitting on her.
As long as he doesn't say, my father's actually not dead.
I thought Ted Cruz's dad killed him.
No, Ted Cruz's dad killed John F. Kennedy. Well, get it straight. Ted Cruz's, hello?
Or was it Ted Cruz's dog?
No, Ted Cruz was the Zodiac. No. Ted Cruz was. Hold on. Ted Cruz was the Zodiac killer. Get your conspiracy theories straight, Christopher.
And Ted Cruz's wife was uglier than the family dog. Get that right too.
Yeah, they're both sent to the woodshed.
Oh, and by the way, I got a note from Jude. She caught something I said a little bit ago. She said, "We can't ignore what you just stated, Robin, in getting a new passport and changing your name, quoting you, in case I need to flee the country. That shot through me like a bullet, still burns while piercing inside me. You brought up moving several times, even as it would break open part of your heart by leaving your beloved state and my family. Yet today I felt a deeper sense of what you're housing. And as another woman, I feel by recognizing the possibility of danger lurking. One cannot remain healthy or safe when residing in a fight-or-flight flooding of their inner body. Honestly, how prescient knowing one part was named the sympathetic nervous system being triggered. What a word, sympathetic. Remember, I love you as others do as well. I couldn't just let this simply pass by, Robin. Warmly, Jude." Thank you, Jude. Thank you. And I've mentioned it before. I'm toying with an idea, but I can't do it by myself. I feel a profound urge to travel. I desperately want to go and see my youngest daughter out in New Mexico. And I would love nothing more than, and we've discussed this, to rent a car after spending a week or so with Doodle, drive across Arizona, get into California, meet a lot of you. Some I've met before, some I've never set eyes on. And, you know, rent a little hotel along the way here and there, and a couple other possible places to couch surf, and broadcast live from actually a place that makes a hell of a lot more sense for me to be than right here right now.
That would be awesome.
The vast majority of the Horn Family Community congregation is somewhere between Vancouver and the Mexican frontier. I mean, that's not to discount all the wonderful, wonderful members of the Horn Family Community Congregation who are behind the corn pone curtain. or, you know, in Gino's case, behind the Zion curtain. my friends, you know, and by behind the cornpone curtain, I mean anywhere in the Maggot South and up east. But there's a passage in Robert Penn Warren's All the King's Men where he says, sooner or later, every American is struck by the urge to go west, to the very end of the continent, and see what awaits. And that's really on me. So, I'm playing with an idea. Here's the idea. You tell me. I would like to do another horn-in and do it in the election year, 2024. We didn't get to do it this year. But I'd like to, and, you know, the whole shooting match, the barbecue, make it even bigger and better than it was the last time. Have a lot of people involved. And put up a new GoFundMe page. And the purpose of the GoFundMe page would be to fund this trip and also, and this is critical, make it possible for me to have health insurance. Because we struggle from month to month just to keep the bills paid here on the way on what we fundraise on. This would be something entirely separate. But for anybody who wanted to put up the same sum as last time, you know, room, board, food, entertainment, the works, here in West Virginia next summer. And in the meantime, I could afford health care and make this and do a bunch of little mini horn-ins kind of all the way up the coast. It would probably be at least 6 weeks in duration. Because
Robin,
all the way to Vancouver, and then once I was done there, loop back and turn the car in back in Albuquerque and get on a plane and come home. And that would be perfect for like August and September.
Santa Fe is such a magical, special place. And then Rio Doso, you don't want to miss that. You don't want to miss the White Sands Desert. And you certainly don't want to miss the Malpai. It's all spectacular. You will love it in the next
August, month. September, you better get an air-conditioned car.
They don't rent cars that aren't air-conditioned anymore, Roger.
Yeah, well, but realistically, if you're in Arizona, New Mexico in August, you're hot. And
oh, I'm hot all the time, Roger.
If you come up Interstate 5, it's baking all the way up until you get past Redding. Red Bluff frequently has the highest temperature in the lower 40, in the 48 states in August. And once you get north of Redding, things cool off. September is beautiful in Oregon and Washington. I'm just saying
very
that,
spectacular.
Man, August in Arizona, New Mexico, my problem is I used to pull for Mayflower, as I've said before, and my truck wasn't air conditioned. And I remember a trip from Marengo Springs to Long Beach, where fortunately my girlfriend was able to drive the truck, and I was lying up in the sleeper, stark ass naked, putting a wet towel over me, and every time the towel dried out, I woke up because I was too hot, and I wet the towel again and put it over me so I could get some sleep.
Well, darn, whoever was on the stress line, I had them potted up and they're gone again. Try again, please. I will bring you on. I'm not forgetting. Yeah, I mean, pack and dress accordingly.
But it's a dry heat.
Steve.
I don't give a fuck how dry it is.
Yeah.
When it's 110 degrees.
Not when you're sweating. It's not dry anymore. But Robin, you've said you're a lot like me. You're a reptile. I love the heat. Give me more.
Yeah, I do. You know, I'd have to, you know, dip myself in a vat of SPF Avogadro's number every morning. but it would be worth it. But again, I can't do it without help. So I don't know if there's interest. You know, maybe the idea of coming and partying in West Virginia isn't that strong an idea, but the idea of making sure that I can go to the damn doctor would be a real blessing. Because remember, my health care premiums, the reason I lost the health care I had last time is they went up to like north of $1,700 a month. And I don't know.
We're a laughing stock.
I don't know if that's the trans tax or what, but yeah, that's what it was. But I figure if we
Europeans look at us, Robin, like we're barbarians. We're fucking Neanderthals.
I mean,
what do you mean you don't have universal health care?
I'm fully capable of feeding a small army, 30, 40 people. If we could get that many people interested in doing this, then I could make that trip. We could have a blast. I mean, the number of people I want to meet, and I don't want to leave anybody out, but my God, Tamara and Scott in San Diego, and see Billable Rick again, meet Tracy for the first time, Matt, Cynthia, all of y'all in Oregon and Washington. I just think it feels like a really, really good time. And I love to drive, and I've always wanted to go across the country because I grew up with my father telling me the story of driving home from Bremerton, zigzagging across the country, dropping his Navy buddies off in their respective areas. He had a big pocket full of cash, and they bought like a 1938 Buick. No interstates, and dropping people off in Pocatello, dropping another buddy off in Bisbee, Arizona, and at every stop swearing, you know, we'll see each other again. And none of them ever saw each other again. Mm. But driving all the way across the country.
So, hey, Roger, I know you have a lot of experience. Is there a certain stretch of Highway 1 that Robin should drive on California? Driving Highway 1 all the way up California would take like a million years. So I know the 101 or the 5, she'd have to do some of it. But what's your favorite stretch? Because I haven't done it, really. But what's
Highway
your favorite
1,
stretch?
South of San Francisco doesn't take – takes about – 2 hours more to go from San Jose to L.A. on Highway 1 than it does to take 101 south, cross over to 5, and then go into L.A. And I kind of like 5 because of that 2 hours was important, and 101 gets kind of boring, but 101 and 1 are pretty much the same south of San Francisco. When you get north of San Francisco, Highway 1 is a whole different number. Highway 101 is four-lane freeway, and Highway 1 is a two-lane road that hugs the coast and only goes as far north as Fort Bragg. And then you have to turn and cross over and get back on 101 to go further north. The area north of Fort Bragg to south of Eureka is commonly referred to as the Lost Coast because there is no road that goes the coast. Now, there is a trail that's about a three-day trek that goes from Petrolia down to as far north as it goes. But at Fort Bragg, you have to cut back over to Highway 101.
And the train still hugs the coast at that point, right?
Well, that's south San Francisco. There is no train north of San Francisco.
Oh, okay. Oh, I didn't know.
My suggestion would be to drive, if you're just trying to get somewhere, hop on 5 and come up to Central California and come in through Central Oregon. If you've got the time, take Highway 101 north out of San Francisco, go up to Fort Bragg, spend the night, and then you cross over to Willits and you're on Highway 101 and then continue on up 101 up through the Oregon coast and then make the return trip on 5 or reverse it, one or the other. It really doesn't matter. But the coast route 101 coming up from L.A., you go through Pismo Beach and Los Banos and then you come through Los Banos. I've got that wrong. San Luis Obispo, and you go past Hearst Castle, and you come up through Santa Cruz, Monterey Bay, all of that.
I love Santa Cruz.
And then you get into San Francisco. You have to stop at Duarte's Tavern and have artichoke omelet when you're in Pescadero.
Oh, Jesus, that sounds good.
It does.
Duarte's Tavern was founded in something like 1850, and it's been in business consistent. Yeah, it's always been open. Anyhow, and do a, like the scenic up the coast kind of number. When you get past Fort Bragg, cross over to Willits, that brings you up to Garberville. And, of course, you've got a friend in Garberville. Then wind up, and if you need to speed it up, from Crescent City, you cross over to Grants Pass and then get on 5. Or you go on up the coast to Newport and Yahats and that stuff. And you can wind your way all the way up to Astoria and then drop into Portland. But one of them is scenic. One of them is scenic and takes time, and the other one is put your foot to the metal and make the trip. So it depends on what the desire is, but there are limitations on when you can cross over from 101 over to I-5. Convenient in San Francisco to do it. From Willits, you can take off at Ukiah and go over on Highway 20. And then in Arcadia Eureka area, you can cross over at 299. Crescent City, you can cross over on 199. And then when you get to Oregon, there are several roads that dive in. When I was moving up here 5-6 years ago, it was partially over the winter. And if there were any chance of snow, I'd come all the way up the coast and then cross over, because it's a lower mountain range to do that than coming through either on 299 or 199. But if Robin decides to do the trip, I can immensely help out with routing, depending on the desire of where she wants to go, which, and then how much scenic, how much pedal to the metal, etc. So, yeah, I'd be happy to help out with that.
And, Robin, I know your swirly straw days are far behind you, but some of the best wine tasting in California that's not, you know, that's kind of forgotten is up in the Russian River Valley.
I've heard about that.
Up to Geyserville, Healdsburg, Geyserville area.
Healdsburg,
sorry. The pronunciation ain't my, you know, it's a bit like ciphering for Robin. But,
and then there's a whole lot of wine tasting here in the Willamette Valley.
Oh, yeah. Pinots. Cabs and Zins in Russian River. Pinots in Willamette.
Some good Zinfandels down there in the Russian River, too.
Absolutely.
Anyhow, my wife just told me that she was working on making some ice cream in this fancy ice cream maker she's got.
Oh, I saw a bougie ice cream maker the other day. It was a Ninja.
And anyhow, she dropped it on the floor, and now I got to go move the refrigerator because there's milk and sugar underneath the refrigerator, and we don't need an ant collecting number here to clean it for us. We need to...
Hey, give her my love, Roger.
Deal with it.
Miss her. Miss you, too.
It's 4:50. I'm going to stay here for a few more minutes, and after 5, I'll...
Roger, remind me to give you my "you don't have to fool around cooking the stuff" ice cream recipe. It's basically cream and half, and Eagle Brand sweetened condensed milk and whatever you want to flavor it with, and it makes great ice cream.
Huh. Oh, you've got my email address.
Okay. Okay, it's easy enough, but yeah.
And I have no idea what recipe she cooked up. My wife is a doting grandmother. Let's put it that way.
Of course she is.
Yeah, and when Safeway has ice cream at super good prices, we always buy ice cream. You know, you get 3 for the price of 1 kind of crap, but then it doesn't go on sale, and so she decides to make some ice cream. So she bought this machine that you put the tub in the freezer.
Oh, yeah, 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 yeah. I've seen those.
And then you mix all your shit and put that in the refrigerator and or the freezer to cool it down quick. And then you take this container that's been in the freezer and you pour the cold stuff into it and you plug it in and it grinds away for a certain amount of time. And then you put the whole thing back in the freezer and you have ice cream. And since we've got a picnic tomorrow.
Yeah, and that particular unit makes really great sorbets.
Anyhow, we have our family dinners on Sunday nights, and so I'm sure she was making ice cream for Sunday night. But anyhow, I got to go clean up half and half cream and sugar and vanilla.
What a mess.
Underneath the freezer.
And that takes time because the sticky is slow to clean up.
Oh, yeah.
You don't want the ants. You don't want the ants.
Believe me.
Good times, Roger. Good times.
I did pick a shitload of chard for her to make a chard pastry for tomorrow.
Chard pastry?
Well, yeah. It's a Peruvian street food,
Like Swiss chard?
Yeah.
Is it a savory pastry?
You peel the leaves off, and you wilt them, you know, down, and then you put it in a pastry shell, and she always cracks some eggs into the dished out chard, and there's bacon bits in it, and shallots, and garlic, and onions, and all that kind of stuff, and then you put a lid on it, and you bake it in the oven. And
okay, yeah, because see, I hear pastry, and the fact that I don't eat much in the way of sweets anymore immediately goes ding, and I forget that there are savory. Yeah, there are savory pastries too. I mean. Yeah. Yeah, spanakopita is a savory pastry.
Right. That's sort of like a spinach pie.
And I'm so pissed off. My Kroger used to carry frozen spanakopita. And we bought it all the time. And I'm sure we can't have been the only ones. And now it's fucking gone. But
try Costco, Robin.
Oh, shut up, Christopher. I love you, but shut up. Do you really think I've got a Costco?
You don't go to Costco?
It's not that I don't go to. I don't got one.
Oh, you don't have Costco in West Virginia? Jesus Christ.
There's not Costco in the entire state.
Water. My God.
I'd have to. The nearest Costco I can think of is Manassas, Virginia. Maybe there's one in DeBerg. I never think about going west toward Columbus. I'm sure maybe there's one in Columbus or something.
Wait,
Christopher, was that the last straw? You need to fucking move. You don't have a Costco.
You fucking Costco.
Get out of West Virginia, Robin.
I can kind of get Tracy ships you yuzu juice to keep you alive. I get that, but no fucking Costco. Yeah, I mean, come on, that is the last straw.
All right, let me get.
How many Costcos are there between you and me, Christopher? About 5 or 6
billion. Yeah, 11 billion.
Wait a minute, 11 billion Costcos. Now you're just teasing
Stephanie
me.
Stephanie Miller, I stole that.
Oh, but we are over in Fayetteville. We are getting one thing that we desperately do not need. We're getting a Starbucks.
Yeah. Oh, I thought you were getting a Chick-fil-A.
Well, we don't need one of those either, but yeah. But we got beautiful
learned.
Little coffee. Go ahead. You know, I was joking with my daughter yesterday. I went, look, there's a new coffee bar. Fuck, Oak Hill's turned into Seattle. We got 3 coffee places. And, you know, hey, it's becoming unaffordable to live here, too. So, you know, we're on the way.
I just learned that these pregnancy crisis centers, that like the worst things that we have in the country or on the planet for that matter, that tax dollars actually go to support
yes.
these fucking
yes.
things.
Yes. And they've got little,
I just learned that this
another, I was today years old moment, Christopher. Yeah.
Yeah.
And what they do is they'll sit down with you. You know, if you're pregnant and they'll hand you a little fucking cabbage patch kid and said, can you imagine murdering this baby?
Yeah. Wait. How long have we had the Hyde Amendment where tax dollars can't go to supporting abortion? Well, how the fuck am I paying for these pregnancy crisis centers?
Oh, yeah. I mean,
we've had
the Hyde Amendment since way back when Henry Hyde was fucking little boys.
Yeah, it was buggering whoever the hell.
Because
in Illinois, my hometown.
Because Jesus is love, y'all. I'm sorry, I'm not liking Christians today. And I'm so sorry that we didn't get her. And I got to hold on. I'm about to screw up. Hey, welcome to the program on the Stress Line. I'm so sorry. I've tried to bring you on several times, and then you were gone, and then I'm terrible. Hello?
You're not that terrible.
Hey, Ken.
You're not that terrible.
How are you? Yeah, I hear you.
Hi. I gotta get out of speaker. There you go. A little bit better, hopefully.
Because I kind of wanted to test the stress line.
Yeah, no, I wanted to call on the stress line for you to test your hypothesis to really mess up the stream or the Skype group.
Well, so far, so good. I mean, it'll take further testing, so I'll continue doing this thing I'm doing, but you're clear as a bell. Thank you, Ken.
I did want to test that and push back ever so slightly against Steve in New York. You can't save the vitriol for the other people, not the allies. He was talking about Sam Peter's show. And I listen to him. And maybe they're idealistic, and I get that. I'm kind of partial to
give
that.
Give them a fucking break, right? Give them a fucking break
first. So, that's all right. I just wanted to push ever so slowly against Steve. I love Steve, and I'm glad he's doing, what's good for himself, and he's part of our family. But I just felt it necessary to push back a little bit. Just a little bit.
Oh, that's fine. That's fine.
I mean, they're not wise. They have no wisdom. Emma, Matlack, they have zero wisdom. Because they're too young.
Yeah, she's young.
But their heart is in the right place.
Idealistic.
You cannot have the circular firing squad. It kind of makes me furious. Because they are going against these fucking right-wing lunatics that have zero brains, zero sense, zero knowledge. Tim Pool, fucking Wife Not Wet. I mean, all that gaggle character. I mean, Matt Walsh, all that. They've got their hands full fighting against this shit.
Did you see what they covered today? Did you see that they covered Dylan Mulvaney's response? Robin, did you see Dylan Mulvaney's response?
I did. I mean, I just... Dylan Mulvaney pushed back and said that Bud Light abandoned her, and then Bud Light came after her. I mean, Jesus Christ!
Of course, because
it's seventh grade.
Well, they're in the wrong.
Stupid corporate pride crap. They don't care. They don't care about anybody. They care about profits. Let's face that fact.
Yeah, that's why every major corporation, every major brewer of beer has an LGBTQ outreach. And, look, the Christians just recently got done canceling Chick-fil-A because they've got a vice president of diversity.
Maybe that does more harm than good.
I don't think it does, because like a vice president of diversity is there to make sure that everybody who works for them, and there's no way to just have a white, straight, Christian workforce in America anymore, and maybe.
Yeah, right.
Everybody deserves to be at least not absolutely miserable being tormented for who they are at work.
Yeah, absolutely. And these freaking pigs that run these corporations, these guys are, let's be honestly, most of them are guys, and all of them are pigs. their women are
second class citizens. Like Crowder has, Stephen Crowder. Unfortunately, you don't have one.
Yeah, so I didn't really want to call out Steve so much, but yeah. Just the pushback ever so slightly. That's all
Steve
the points.
Makes good points. He makes good points.
He does.
He does. Circular firing squad, please you stop.
You want to be more realistic and, see, maybe we can, click our fingers and hopefully this shit goes away. But I'm sorry, it's not going to happen that way either. So I agree with him to that extent.
Oh, and
it's direct action.
I'm rapidly running out of time. I need to do a couple of things. Consumer alert. I mentioned the Bougie Ninja ice cream maker I saw the other day. Brother Deacon Asa says, stay away from the Ninja Creamy. It's trash. I can send you mine. Oh, don't. And let's say we didn't, Asa. And secondly, this is, of course, the last day of June, and that means it's the last day of Pride 2023. And I had a note for the community from our sister Jessica up in the greater Rochester co-prosperity sphere. Little Stonewall challenge. In recognition of the 54th anniversary of the Stonewall riots on the 27th, kinda has more resonance today with the SCOTUS decision. Come on, y'all. Stonewall was a riot, so Jessica's plunking down $5. If somebody else has $5, she'll put down another $5, and that'll get us down to $175 to meet Gino's
Stonewall
challenge.
Was a riot. Give her a little llama, maybe a rigorous llama. Yeah.
Yeah, that's a real cowbell. Llama. Yeah, Stonewall.
By the way, the Pride Parade in New York City was very well attended. It choked up the subway. It choked up the streets of Manhattan. I saw bits and pieces of it. We didn't stand alongside the parade route, but we saw it from a block away multiple times because we were downtown the day of the parade. And various national chains like Target had an open-air double-decker bus that was, well, let's say it this way. The open-air bus that was cruising down the street one time I saw it had big Target placards on the side of it. And so just to let you know, I saw the parade, but wasn't part of it, but it looked to be very, very well attended. And on the subway, there were all kinds of rainbow flags and rainbow hats and various people. We got caught in the rush on the way downtown, and then we got caught in the people going home from the parade. Very well attended.
I want to see a big city pride someday. So far, I've only been to Beckley and little bitty Greenbriars.
Hey, Robin.
Yeah, Ken.
San Francisco's is amazing.
Yeah, I'm going to hang up on this
That's kind of the gold standard, isn't it?
It's fucking epic. Huh?
It's kind of the gold standard, isn't it?
Yeah, obviously.
Yeah, there would be...
I'm going to...
Go ahead, Ken. Sorry. No, please, go ahead.
No, I was going to hang up on this line. I didn't want to just test that. And
well, thank you. And it was a complete success because it didn't break up at all.
Everybody. Okay, good. Amen. For small.
Stay on. Why don't you stay for the back porch?
Yeah, stick around for the back porch.
All right.
Stick around for the back porch, Ken. Well, no, you can't.
Okay.
You can't because I'll have to hang this line up.
Oh.
Oh, shit.
I can probably get an escape here.
Okay, good deal.
We'll see.
All right, Ken, take care.
All right, bye.
Bye. No, seriously, let me know if this notion of mine is viable or doable or if it's something you'd be willing to support. Because, A, I really need health care. I do. And... even if I could get on Medicaid in West Virginia, which I can't, they rather strenuously resist the idea of providing trans care. Because, well, This is a maggot state. They prefer me dead. But I think it would be fun to get out and, you know, see a place that's a hell of a lot more accepting than, I mean, that's not to say it's not accepting here. But it would be nice to get out there, meet people that I've only read notes from or spoken to on the phone. And maybe, who knows, build the program. It'd be kind of like the whole Michigan, you know, One Froggy Night, the Warner Brothers cartoon, you know. Rent a theater and put a placard out front that says free beer, and then bring out Michigan J. Frog to sing Hello, My Honey. I don't know why that occurred to me. Jude said, yes, that brings it into a fuller vision. Being able to neutralize the flooding of that sympathetic nervous system within oneself requires courage, even when we may feel weak. You are voicing a healthy vision, longing for what a new path will bring by driving the horn connection. Endorphins can be the most acutely healing of all. Good work. Thank you, Jude. I got a little bit of new ink yesterday, and I got an endorphin rush out of that that just won't quit. If you want to see it, it's over on my Facebook and Instagram accounts. Comes from the movie Heavy Metal. Like I said, I've wanted to do it since I was 17 years old. And it's nice to have a friend who does ink. So now, yay. A little sore.
Hey, Heavy Metal, Robin, is that have the title song? Trying to think, is it Sammy Hagar?
Yeah, there's two of them. There's the Sammy Hagar one, and there's also the Don Felder one.
I love that song.
You've seen the movie, I trust.
It's, yes, yeah, billion years ago. 110 billion years ago.
110, yeah. I bought it eons ago, so I went back and watched the final segment.
Maybe I need to do that tonight.
I wanted to make sure that I got what I got on the proper side of my neck. So, yeah, I've got a pretty little stylized red dagger down below my left ear now, and I love it.
You know, a movie I rented the other night for $3.99, Soylent Green.
Oh, yes, yeah. You mean before, otherwise known as before Charlton Heston was an asshole?
Yeah, before he got all right wingy.
Because that is they got the timing wrong, but it's a prophetic vision of a climate change ruined Earth.
Absolutely.
And Edward G. Robinson was wonderful. And, what's the character Charlton Heston? Thorn. Is his name.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Officer Thorn.
Ooh, I want to watch that again.
It's really good.
It is. It's great. And Edward G. Robinson is just the genius that Edward G. Robinson was. And man, where's your Moses now, huh? I love it when Scott in San Diego does that.
She was a piece of furniture, actually. She was.
And speaking of which, Scott, check in. Please, Scott in San Diego, we worry about you. And every time I say, where's your Moses now? I hear it in Scott's voice doing Edward G. Robinson's voice. That's the impact that this community has, at least on me. I hear y'all's voices in my head. You know, no, I don't hear voices.
I hope Scott's okay.
Yeah, I'm worried.
Me too.
Tamara, you know where he is. Go peck on his door and just see if he's all right. No, I'm kidding.
Yeah.
Just a little Horn Family Community Congregation wellness check. Listen, I'm going to put the plea out there one more time.
Maybe we can get the San Diego Chicken to go over there and check on him.
That would work. I'm going to put the plea out there one more time to please let's finish Gino's Fuck the Supreme Court challenge. We are 100 and, well, if somebody will meet Jessica's $5 Stonewall was a Riot challenge, we'll be down to $175. Now, last thing, I guess, is a program note. This is, it's really fun when the 4th of July falls on either Monday or Tuesday for a lot of people because, if you're in a kind of a job where you can take Thursday off, hell, you've got a week-long vacation. But I will be here Monday evening the 3rd. And, you know, I'll probably be here on the, I'll probably be here for the 4th of July, too. Maybe we'll do a 4th of July on the front porch if people want to. I would dearly love to have some, to not be the only woman's voice in this conversation. But, and that's not to critique the guys. I would like for this to expand and evolve and grow. We need to catch up with what the Supreme Court did to student borrowers, because that was a righteous fucking. The difference being that Joe Biden says he has a plan. And, you know, I kind of trust him. I trust him to have a plan. He says he has a new path to provide student loan debt relief. He may be playing 11D-dimensional chess with those theocratic fascists on the court. He said the new path is legally sound. It's going to take longer. And in my view, it's the best path that remains to student debt relief to as many borrowers as possible as quickly as possible. He said his administration will invoke the Higher Education Act that allows Education Secretary Miguel Cardona to compromise, waive, or release loans under certain circumstances. Ooh, that'll sting. At least it'll sting the student loan predators. Yeah, but he went on and said, today's decision has closed.
There's a million ways to skin a cat, Robin. And no offense to Clyde, please.
Yes. Today's decision has closed one path. Now we're going to pursue another. I'm never going to stop fighting for you. I'll use every tool at our disposal to get you the student debt relief you need to reach your dreams. It's good for the economy and good for the country and can be good for you.
One key component was that if you can't make your payments, the outfit is not going to turn you over to the credit agencies. So if you need to take up to another year to get back on track making your payments.
Well, they also recently made it easier to bankrupt student debt.
Which is interesting because don't we have Joe to thank for making it so difficult in the first place? Am I wrong on that?
Yeah, it's hard to blame that on one senator.
Delaware. Okay.
You know,
maybe I'm exaggerating. Maybe I'm wrong.
Well, I mean, that's one of the problems with running for president as a member of the Senate or the House. You vote for things that have things in them that are odious, but you're charged with the business of getting government done.
Yeah. You have to go back in the Wayback Machine and see what was going on at that time, what the bill had, the contents of the bill, right? And in context. I get that. That makes sense.
Well, he voted for the Social Security reform of the 1980s, which is what fucked me and a couple of million other public servants at the time.
I mean, Joe's been a great president, but we all knew going into this his baggage. I mean, there's no secrets about any of his baggage.
But, you know, not to get all Christian or anything, but for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. Okay.
Yeah, I get it. Yeah. Thank God he's president right now is all I could say.
Yeah. I mean, it kind of goes back to what Stephen New York said at the beginning of the program. How you feeling now, Susan Sarandon and Jill fucking Stein? How you feeling?
Well, I'm really petrified about JFK Jr. or RFK Jr.
RFK
Jr. This guy.
It's a hustle.
Don't get me started.
It's a hustle. We're out of time. But it's a hustle.
We're out of time.
It's just a hustle.
Back porch. We'll talk about him on the back porch.
But I'll be here Monday, probably here Tuesday, in case you were wondering. Thanks, everybody. Thanks to the front porch gang, who will now become the back porch gang. It's just a little trip around the mansion. Thanks to our Patreon and PayPal subscribers. It looks like we're going to finish, unless we round up about $190. We're going to finish in a $1,300 hole. And that's probably one of the most brutal holes we finished the month in, a month in. If you're inclined over the weekend, please help. But thank you to our Patreon and PayPal subscribers. Hey, maybe become a new subscriber. That's awesome. If you're new to the program, nothing's for sale here. Everything's free. And it's just a matter of keeping things going because this is decidedly non-capitalist and non-profit and non-income oriented. But thank you all. Thanks to our a la carte contributors. Thank you so much. Thanks to each and every one of you who share your precious finite time engaging in the program in whatever manner you so choose. Thanks to our all-volunteer staff. Thank you to Roger. Thank you to Steve. Thank you to our news ninjas. Thank you, Brother Deacon Asa. Head on .live. Remember, please like and subscribe to the podcast wherever you take the podcast. Leave a comment. Let the algorithms know that, you know, who like, we're here, we're here. Tell your friends and neighbors, share the podcast. Don't keep this to yourself. Do not hide this light under a blanket or a bushel basket. No. Over on TuneIn, press that heart button if that's how you listen to the program. Thank you, John Fox in Australia. Thank you, Ben Birch, WhiteRoseSociety.org. Thanks to the hardest working, bravest people I know, the folks at Cold River Mountain Watch, CRMW.net. 20 plus years at the forefront of the struggle for human rights and environmental justice in Appalachia and a proud union shop. Gino, thank you so much for the challenge this evening. And enjoy your trip to the backcountry of the Colorado Plateau. That ought to be cleansing of both mind and body and spirit. Thank you again. Thanks, everybody. Please stay safe. Smoke wasn't as bad here today. It's still pretty nasty in other places, but there's hope that it will dissipate over the course of the weekend. But I read another report that said it's going to be a fiery, smoky summer pretty much all summer long because, nope, they can't. It's climate change, y'all. In fact, Matt in San Francisco wrote me earlier and said, well, if you get here in August, you may get to enjoy fire season. You know, life on Mars, orange sunsets, smoke in the air. And it'll still be charming, Matt, and thank you. Wear your masks when you're around maggots or in Canadian smoke. You know, we get a lot of Canadians down here in the gorge. It's odd to see the New River Gorge filled with Canadian smoke and no Canadians around. That usually requires Canadians. And it smells much better than what this does. Wash your hands, don't touch your face, use your hand sanitizer, carry it with you, pocket or purse. Maintain your social distance. And for God's sakes, if some black-robed, theocratic, fascist member of the SS comes toward you, burbling about issues of national importance before he runs off fishing with Har Har and Lee Lee and Jin Jin and Fap Fap. Well, avoid Sammy Bad Breath like the plague, because he is. And always, 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 Gina, it's all for you. If you're going to get to take a long 4th of July holiday weekend, please enjoy it to the fullest. And have a great weekend generally, everybody. Later.